Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1138. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Sheed Abdul-Hadi. What is up, good sir?
Nothing much. I know it's been a long time due to scheduling, so I had some time off this week, so I decided to slide in for once.
That can be talked about off air. My last week was a real disaster. It does not need to be talked about into a microphone. There is that. Some might call this a victory in the WWE. Might be the opposite of a disaster, quite honestly. The Road Dogg tendered his resignation earlier today. And in his stead, Alex Williams, a young lady, has been promoted to a vice president, head writer of Monday Night Raw.
So
So,
what? So one person leaves SmackDown and one person gets elevated to Raw. So I know there was a lot of consternation about the booking of Mr. James for valid reason, because until recently SmackDown was seen to be in the pits until they went back to 3 hours, and most of the complaints was basically on the booking. And people complain, and it's not like it's like he started off well and then declined. It was like people had complaints about him from Jump Street, and they were just consistent about it.
It's not been the best product for a while now. The WWE in general and SmackDown definitely.
Well, I mean, Raw and NXT, like NXT's been fine. I mean, NXT's been more than fine, and Raw has actually been kind of good though. For a little bit, SmackDown finally kind of improved, but you can't even blame a roster issue. It's just kind of like everybody was directionless, and I don't know if that's his fault or he's just taking orders from Triple H. But no one seemed to be happy with, the Road Dogg being in charge of that, having that position, and he didn't seem to be happy. And I know Unscripted. Something came up asking, like, we're gonna build this feud and how's it gonna end? And he basically was like, well, I don't know. And the fact that they had that on camera and allowed that to air, kind of like, it didn't seem by accident, but this seems kind of like, is this really what you want to show? I mean, unless you want to show that as an excuse to like why you want to replace him, but it's like, having a person in charge basically saying, I don't know how I'm going to do my job effectively, doesn't seem like the wisest decision.
There were a lot of things on that unscripted that did not seem like they were necessary or helpful to their own product.
I mean, it just depends on how they look at like helping the product. It's kind of like, do you want it, like, attention to talk about? Like, it's the whole Unscripted thing is funny because you don't have to, like, I watched season one. I haven't really watched season two yet, but I always laugh at people complaining about it because I'm like, you don't have to watch it. You can avoid it. You can just avoid it and not really and be fine for the most part. And it's just the
Raise his
whole.
hand, because since I'm in that department, I'm like, I don't, like they're lying to me enough. Like just leave it on the regular product here. I don't need you to lie to me for another hour.
And the kayfabe argument is always funny because it's people online complaining about seeing too much stuff online from wrestlers, and it's kind of like you're going to the zoo and you complain about seeing tigers. Like, don't go to the damn zoo. Like, you don't have to, you do not have to actively search about wrestling information online and then you won't see it. You're on there and you complain about stuff that you're seeing, but you are the people that are being advertised to. And I always laugh at that. Like, yeah, kayfabe worked back when we had four channels on basic TV, but it's like, once the internet came, that shit went out the window. Even before the internet came, it's kind of, it's like, it's an argument for like 8-year-olds. Like, I don't.
It honestly feels as antiquated at this point. Like I know that I've heard it again a couple of times recently, but the whole Oh, wrestling's fake kind of reaction. And it's just like, yeah, like everyone knows that now, guys. Like, it used to be an argument, but in no way should that be an argument in 2026 at this point.
And it's just this whole childish thing from fans. Like, I want to remember when I thought it was real when I was 9 years old. And I'm like, yeah, I miss the days of playing Zelda on Nintendo, but guess what? We're in the PlayStation 5 era. So grow up. I'm a grown man that watches professional wrestling and accept that. I can watch and accept the bullshit physics of an Irish whip. You don't need to play in my face any more than that by like trying to pretend what's kayfabe and what's real, because it's like, you don't need to do that. I don't like when I watch movies, I know it's a movie. My brain is agile enough to know that, it is predetermined with pro wrestling. You don't need to fool me. And it leads me to the whole like talking about Raw thing. Well, because there's been a lot of talk. Well, not even as Raw, there's been a lot of talk with, Rhea Ripley and Jade Cargill. Speaking of like online turning into like real. And I will just say this with the disclaimer is I don't know if it started off as part of storyline and became real. I don't know if it's fake. I don't know if it's all real. And I honestly don't really care that much because it's gonna be settled in the ring. And that's really that matters. I know it's kind of titillated if you feel like, oh, maybe they don't really like each other. How that's gonna turn out, whatever. It's gonna turn out the way it's gonna turn out. They're gonna have a wrestling match because, as I remind people, there are people that have actively hated each other in real life that had wrestling matches. Like Jeff Hardy and Edge wrestle. Chris
You did
Benoit and
Matt.
yes, Chris Benoit and Kevin Sullivan had hardcore wrestling matches after they basically exchanged a wife. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart had wrestling matches. They figured it out. I'm not talking about people that like, I don't like this person in the background. I'm talking about people that had active reasons to hate people and they had wrestling matches. So if they can work it out, Jade and Rhea Ripley can work it out. I just laugh at the whole reaction of this whole nasty trying to peddle. Sources said Jade Cargill was feeling insecure and she was doing too much, and I don't know why she was feeling that way. And I'm kind of like, who are you trying to sell this to? Like, what sources told you that? Chelsea Green? Nia Jax, like the people who don't like Jade Cargill, said they felt a certain way about Jade Cargill. I don't know if she's really injured. When she was injured, did she go on vacation? She carries herself like she's special and rubs people the wrong way. I bet she does. And I just laughed at how people was reporting it because it just reminds me one of their issues with pro wrestling coverage is a lack of diversity. It's basically a bunch of white guys that just talks about wrestling. And that's been fine for the longest time because it's mostly been white guys wrestling in big positions. But when it's people that aren't white guys doing it, people get tripped up. Somebody that's been around black people enough as Kevin Nash can even slip up, as we saw with the whole talk with Javon Evans. He knows better than most people. And even he can slip.
Yeah, that was shocking that
I
that
mean,
ended up
it's.
happening.
I get what he was saying. It's just kind of like he wasn't necessarily wrong. It was a lack of nuance in a topic that allowed for nuance. And I didn't really have an issue, that much of an issue with it, because I get what he was trying to say. It was just kind of like nobody wants to hear that from him. And it's still kind of like, and it was just funny because the first issue with Javon Evans was people was complaining about, him not, we want him to be somebody different. And then it became, we want him to be like himself. And it's kind of like they couldn't figure out. They couldn't figure out how to like just let him do what he's doing. Like I get what Nash was saying, but it's kind of like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that was the weirdest thing about the Nash thing. I'm like, it doesn't feel put on to me personally. And it does feel, to one of your other points, like it feels really different than the way anyone else is being presented.
And people don't know how to handle that because they expect a person to act a certain way. But I talked to that to lead the whole point of when it comes to black women and confident black women in wrestling, people do not know how to handle that. And I'm like, didn't we just go through this with Mercedes and both companies? Like, people had an issue. Like, people want a black woman wrestler must be a certain way. And if they're not a certain way, then it's like, oh, she being difficult. Oh, she being pushed too much. And it's like, yeah, I heard this with Mercedes and Naomi. And I heard this with Bianca Belair. Oh, I'm sorry, Bianca Hogan. As y'all used to call her when they made her, the face of the women's division. And it's amazing how much, the talk about Bianca Belair and Naomi changed. You want to know why they changed? Because they're not there anymore. And they missed them. Because when Bianca Belair was on top, did we not remember that build up to
Well, and
WrestleMania?
that was one thing that Chris and I definitely talked about that always bears talking about in general. The Jade Cargill title reign as a whole has been completely wrecked by whatever weirdness is happening with Bianca Belair. Like I honestly like it is wild that a finger injury can be this problematic. Like I never would have I never would have guessed it, honestly.
Look, sir, people always brush off surgery when they talk about, oh, aren't all surgeries successful? And the answer is no.
No.
It's the reason why they save surgery for last. And it's kind of like she wasn't putting off. She probably was taking doctor orders, like maybe we can rehab without surgery because it was a complex injury. And the fact that she waited almost a year to finally get the surgery and now has to rehab is like, can talk about the severity. Like, I sprained a finger and it took me about 6 to 8 months to straighten it and like 5 years before it didn't hurt anymore. Not broke, sprain.
Oh.
5 years to like I could straighten it without hurting. And I don't wrestle. She wrestles. So, and it's kind of like you're absolutely right, the whole Jay Cargo thing is like two of the big plot points for her storylines aren't there because one got pregnant and one got hurt. And
Yeah, like it is really hard to rate her reign just because, yeah, like her two inherent storylines for really this almost this whole time period that she's had a title are, like you said, they're out for just, well, one's a bizarre reason still to me with Bianca. And, Naomi's understandable,
freak injuries, it happens.
Yeah,
And it's kind
it's,
of
well,
like,
yeah, it's a freak injury for sure.
like if she tore ACL, we wouldn't be complaining. You'd understand. And people think, oh, it's just a finger. I'm like, you need a finger if you're wrestling.
Oh yeah, that's
No.
since I am watching hockey, it goes back to that. I'm like, come on, sometimes dumb hockey arguments. I can't believe a pitcher can't do his job with a broken finger. I can, and it's just like, well,
Yeah, he's
I
throwing the
mean,
ball.
you're the job descriptions are vastly different, sir. I'm just throwing it out there. Like
Yes.
his finger is much more important than yours.
Yes, if a wide receiver, I don't think a wide receiver could catch the ball well if he had a broken hand. So, because he uses his hands. And also, the other person that might have been involved, I'm going to talk about her too, is like Charlotte, the one they've been teasing since she's been there. And she's not involved in that either. Like, this whole storyline was kind of like, well, we need Rhea Ripley to fight somebody. And we don't want her just to. We basically kind of like this tag team, they did what they did to elevate the tag team belts. And we want her back in the main event scene. So here, take this. Like they have no, the only history, like the only thing they have in common is they're Amazons fighting for the title. Like there's no storyline there. So they try to make it to a storyline. And it's hilarious that Rhea Ripley felt a certain way when Jade talked about you gonna go talk to creative, because wasn't around this time last year where Bianca Belair and Io Sky were going to have a match and Rhea Ripley just found a way to insert herself in that storyline and Bianca Belair pointed it out and got booed all over Europe for it. And Io Sky basically was treating her like a little sister. It's like, I remember us talking about that.
We
Like,
did.
multiple times because it made like Rhea Ripley basically wind her way into a title and somehow everybody else were the villains. We saw that. We know that. And it's this whole, they could have went back and forth, or Rhea could have said, you went a little too far. Let's get in the DMs instead. Rhea posts this whole, I'm not having fun. You slander my name. And And then
Yeah,
Chelsea, and then
that's what made that and the Chelsea Green. Well, I didn't really see the Chelsea Green stuff as much as some of the Piper Niven stuff. I'm like, yikes, like.
yeah, Piper Niven jumped in because she's Chelsea Green's friend, and people have pointed out Chelsea Green has always had an issue with Jade Cargill because they've done word association, and hers was basically bitch, and it didn't take her 2 seconds to say it, and she didn't laugh when she said it either. She tried a little laugh afterwards, but it's like she has an issue with Jade Cargill. The people that have issues with Jade Cargill is like a very small thing, and they all kind of like this mean girl type thing that's going on, and I'm like, I can see why they have issues with her because a lot of those people feel insecure based on their pushes. Like, think about how Chelsea Green felt when Michael Hayes is like, oh, she good for like you need a joke character mid card, but I don't think she world title material. Like, everything Chelsea Green is basically says kind of like I'm trying to get in where I fit in, I try to be professional, but there's always this hint of kind of like they treat me a certain way because they don't look at me as a star. You know, Piper
Oh,
Niven, same
yes.
Piper Niven, same thing for size. Like, you know, they're gonna look at me a certain way because I have a certain body type. Nia Jax's, they're gonna look at me a certain way because it's nepotism and body type, and I have a, you know, I used to hurt people. And Tiffany Stratton is a mean girl. So you, and then they see Jade Cargill that walks around basically saying, yeah, I'm awesome. I know I'm awesome, and I'm gonna tell you I'm awesome. What you gonna do about it? Like, she looks like an X-Man. She had a name before she even got into wrestling. She made herself famous in AEW, and they have treated her as she's special since she's been in WWE. And she does not carry herself like, oh, I don't know how I got it. She carries herself like, yeah. And people have issues with that because she walk around confident. And I'm like, if she was a man, and people thought, well, she carries herself like that too much. She might be like Ronda Rousey and get ostracized. I'm like, no, Ronda Rousey. Her problem was she shitted on everybody, including professional wrestling. Jade Cargill is basically saying, if you got a problem with me, that's on you. Because you know who don't have a problem with Jade Cargill? Charlotte don't. Miss Harriet Tubman herself. And you notice how Charlotte basically came to her defense, and that's not the first time. It's kind of like, you notice the people who like Jade Cargill, like Bayley, like not even just naming Bianca Belair. Bayley said highly of her, so is Natty. So is AJ. So is the Bellas. It's kind of like people that are kind of like both confident in their ability and gone through that. They don't have a problem with her. Like, who am I listening to? Tiffany Stratton or Charlotte? When it comes to the character of a woman. It's hilarious where when Charlotte dealt with that, when Tiffany's basically out here talking about, oh, the reason you're not successful is because you keep getting divorced and has nothing to do with wrestling, and it was basically off script. I saw kind of like Meechan and Bayley and them coming to her side. I didn't see the rest of the locker room talking about that's a bridge too far. So now, why all of a sudden now it's an issue because Jade Cargill said a little line and Rhea Ripley ran to the principal's office. And now we're talking about, oh, does she need to be more professional? No. You know what? You know she don't need to be more professional because she's the champ. And you know who else don't have a problem with her saying that because she's the champ? Her boss, Triple H, who basically is like, look who I got. From the moment Jade Cargill came in WWE, Triple H is like, look what I found. Basically treating like, this is my new special, this is my new special woman. If Triple H ain't got a problem with Jade Cargill, that other shit don't matter. It doesn't matter. It does not matter in the slightest. They will work it out one way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole argument is like, yes, I'm not going to lose any sleep over a bunch of insecure people having a problem that a black woman not walking around insecure because that's your problem. That is not her problem and ain't her boss's problem. The other people need to work it out. And it's hilarious where all that noise kind of overshadowed the fact that one, CM Punk and Roman Reigns was basically cutting a Netflix era promo that combined, you know, real life storyline in a way that actually was entertaining, even though pro wrestling is the only entertainment where somebody said, I'm gonna bury you next to your dead father. That's considered like a good storyline. Because guess what? If somebody said that in anywhere else, sports and real life, yeah, we fighting. Like,
yeah, there it's kind of funny that I thought to myself when I heard that line, I'm like, oh gosh, it made me roll my eyes a little bit, honestly, just because it is so quintessential pro wrestling to bring up something like that.
yes, the
And
old Christian line. It's amazing how Christian basically made that kind of his brand. Yeah, I got a dad unlike you. And also, it shows that they really must be friends, because there ain't no way in the world Roman Reigns is letting that line slide if he didn't have approval over that. And he only gonna have approval over that if he's like feuding with somebody he respect. And it's a funny thing where this whole feud is basically kind of like it's combining storyline things, fighting over Paul Heyman, fighting over who has the title, fighting who's over the man, with backstage real life stuff that fit the storyline. We only hired you. Like they had to ask me first before they let you
Come
let you get
back.
rehired. You know, I was here holding the ratings. You was out here pretending to be this locker room leader. We know you're gonna implode. Like stuff that if you follow them online, it makes sense. But if you don't, it sounds enough where it's like if it's a storyline, like you the reason why you got a job in the first place when you was in NXT, and it's like, no, you discovered them, you discovered me. I was special from Jump Street. And just Roman talking about I'm gonna beat you. I'm gonna put you on a retirement tour and send you down to NXT to train the youth. And it's like it works because it works in this era. And this is just and people had an issue talking about they couldn't understand the promo. Like I'm like, this is an era where they expect a certain fan base to like watch Netflix and to kind of like know certain stuff online. And if you do, this storyline makes sense. If you don't, it's enough stuff where it's kind of like you could fill in the blank. So I normally have issues with shoot, quote unquote, shoot promos when they don't add any, when it's kind of like distracting from the storyline or it doesn't have anything to do with storyline. This isn't like this is adding to it. And yeah, Roman stopped talking. Like, yeah, Roman gonna start, he gonna start talking about that dog or he might kidnap AJ. Like, did y'all not forget the terror he used to do during the Thunderdome era? As Dominic Mysterio when he flew like Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, like yeah, Roman was a monster, including to his old family.
Well, I mean, at least CM Punk does not need to worry about Larry being captured since, unfortunately, he
I
is
mean,
deceased at this point.
you can dig up some bones.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could. I could just see Roman Reigns at a promo in in a cemetery somewhere with Larry Punk
Or,
on the
I mean, more than
headstone.
likely,
I
Roman comes in beating up somebody's like, is that Ace Steel, CM Punk's best friend, or some nonsense like that? So,
die.
I'm actually intrigued because I really don't know who should win.
Yeah, I have not really thought about that question at this point yet, because yeah, it like neither guy really needs to win.
Yeah, it's weird where it's like both. If CM Punk won, it would be good for Punk. If Roman won, it'd be good for Roman. But it's kind of like these are two established people. It's like it's the main event. It deserved to be the main event, but it doesn't matter who wins. And that's I can't remember the last time we had like a this is WrestleMania. I can't remember the last time like you had a main event where it's like the winner is really irrelevant.
Oh yeah, because I mean it's definitely been the Cody needs to win this one for a couple of different years, and what
Or
was
if you're mad, like basically, like people were mad when either Cody needs to win, or you're mad that Roman won, like when Daniel Bryan and Edge lost to him, or like or people were mad when Gunther lost to Jey Uso. It's like it's some either you want the person to win or you mad that somebody lost. But this one is kind of like, I mean, if you're not a fan of CM Punk or Roman Reigns, then don't. I mean, because like
Yeah,
they're
stay
both
away from
established.
Sunday night
Yeah, like
then.
they're both established. They're both veterans, and it's like they're both in transitional period. Like Roman has 1 foot in Hollywood, CM Punk has a foot in Hollywood and a foot in the training. So it's kind of like they're not going to be the flagship people for the next 5 years anyway. So, but they're on top now, and it's just weird. Like I'm looking forward to the promos, and I'm looking forward to the match because it's entertaining. But I don't care who wins, and not in a bad way. It's kind of like whoever wins, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of a good way to put it. Like you said, like whoever gets the win, it's gonna be a good on them. But the other person's gonna stay very relevant because they're probably if nothing else, the two of the bigger stars in
Yeah.
the WWE, if not the biggest.
I have a feeling that CM, if anybody will win, CM Punk, because it's kind of like he never really had a big WrestleMania win.
It would be interesting. I guess that's one you were talking about, upcoming promos. That's a subject that could be brought up in between then and now that has not been broached yet.
Yeah, like I've been a main event winner for 5 years. You just this is your first time main event on a Sunday, and you damn near 50. So how you best in the world when you've been slumming it?
I mean, I feel like that's some ripe territory for Mr. Reigns to explore here. And I would be a little bit surprised if they don't find a way to put that in there,
Yeah, I'm,
quite
you know.
frankly. There are some storylines that still don't get screwed up. Roman Reigns storylines on that list.
Yes, like, well, and it's kind of like it's an organic storyline that has all these layers, and it's one of the few like WrestleMania storylines where it makes sense. They've been building for a long time, and you're interested in it. And it's kind of like they both have fan bases, and they both have, you know, detractors. So it's going to be a lot of passion involved in that, and you know they're going to make an effort to have the best type of thing. And you know this basically says they're working together to make sure it works. It's not.
And that's another one where you've got to let you well, similar to the segment just before about being secure about yourself. Like you've got Roman's got to be secure enough to let the dad stuff slide, and I'm sure CM Punk is gonna get some extra needles thrown his way, and he has generally in
Oh,
the WWE.
all this fill this and fill that.
Phil
Yeah.
has put up with a lot in the return, and it's much to his credit. Without it turning into an AEW
I mean,
situation,
he's happy.
it's one of those things that I can only think of a parallel from this past football season, where Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, oh man, I do not want him to be the Steelers quarterback. And Mike Tomlin's like, look, you're not doing that here. If you're going to do that, I don't want you. And then he didn't, act like an idiot the whole time he was in Pittsburgh. And it's just like, this is kind of the same thing. Like, Triple H to CM Punk was like, just don't be an idiot here. Like, this will all work out. Like,
And it
let's, don't be
has.
dumb. And
Like,
it
he's out
has.
here smiling and happy. He got the big belt on. His wife has a title. Everybody treating him like he's like the, you know, basically indie guy here. Like, all the stuff that he wanted to do in AEW, he gets to do in WWE. He's making money. He's appreciated. He's having good matches. It's like he's smiling and happy. And it's a lot of people like, how dare you be happy? Like they've been, and the funny thing is, all the storyline is like, it's this fake, right? He gonna blow up, and it's hilarious because in real life, it's like he's the happiest I've seen him in whatever. Because basically, like,
In ever,
he has a job as
probably.
long as he wants, and it's kind of like if he wants to go down to NXT and take over for HBK, it's hilarious the fact that I don't know what's funnier, HBK being king of NXT or Undertaker being king of AAA. And that working.
The AAA audience is definitely different than the main WWE audience.
And somehow
I will
Undertaker,
say that.
gets it. Like I saw, not to be side, like I saw that story about Mustafa Ali, like, during when they had the anniversary show, they were at both locations and they had to go to Hammerstein because they didn't have any matches. So they all jumped in a van to get changed to have a match, and they accidentally changed in the locker room with the Undertaker. And he's like, I'm sorry, I know the Undertaker. He's like, what? Y'all don't want to, excuse my language, y'all don't want to hang with the motherfucking Undertaker? So, and then Lince Dorado co-signed on that. It was like, somehow we became friends from that. And I'm like, what a line. Imagine y'all here just trying to change, get a match. Like, because it's, their reputation of Undertaker is such a hilarious thing because it's kind of like it's so conflicting but works. And the fact that it's like The fact that he's booking Triple A, and from anything I heard, is like doing well, is like that shouldn't make sense, but it's kind of like he knows wrestling. So he's been doing it
Oh.
long enough. And he obviously loves wrestling because he could just be retired enjoying having money. And the fact is like he's booking that is kind of like, yeah. How about that? But anyways,
Yeah, it is.
I
It's
was
the WWE has their fingers everywhere.
yes. But speaking of, I was laughing like the fact that CM Punk basically made a joke about somebody dead dead, that's not being the most tasteless promo on the show or Raw, says something. Cause you know who should be happy? Like all this controversy kind of like blown over what is going on? Liv Morgan. Because that promo she cut on Stephanie Vaquette, I'm like, I'm listening to this and I'm like, do y'all not hear this? Because everybody's talking about, oh, she's passionate. That's Liv. I'm like, Steph, yes, I'm special. I got chose while you was wrestling, while you was in a mud hut wrestling in flea infested rings. I was out here being chosen and being special. And I'm sitting here like, where in the Bill Watts nonsense is this? Like, a mud hut? Why are they treating her like this is like Stephanie Baker was an apocalypto? Like, Chile might be third world. They have buildings. Last time I checked.
It's still not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus, hey, she obviously worked her way up other
It's just hilarious
than just the
where,
mud huts.
yeah, like she's wrestling in flea infested rings, and I was out here making it because I'm special. And not only was it. I'm like, the only thing they were missing was the Mexico, the sepia, filter they use way in Mexico, and everything looks orange. You might as well just do that in. What makes that promo hilarious, besides how tasteless it was, it's like it's Liv Morgan cutting it. The same Liv Morgan that talked about I had to fight for everything I had from Hooters because nobody respected me, and I had a WWE special where they basically said we can't figure out a storyline for you, and it's not your fault. It's like nobody handed Liv Morgan nothing. And so this whole she's cutting a promo like she was Charlotte. Like it does not fit her and it does not fit her character.
I did not think about that part of that promo that yeah, it was kind of weird that she acted like she was the anointed one while clearly she has not been within the WWE. The We Want Liv chance would not have been needed many years ago at this point.
Yeah, like we remember those cold, she's just a Carmelo knockoff and all that, and it's kind of like complaining, why doesn't she get a push and why don't she get a chance? And it's kind of like she was basically like, DDP. So somehow she became from DDP jersey to Tony Soprano jersey. And I'm like, it's not necessary. And it's kind of like it's this weird thing where Liv is a heel and they sometimes want to treat her like a baby face, and then the next week try to treat her like a heel. And Stephanie's a baby face and they want to heal her up. And it's like it's disjointed.
I mean that. I think that's kind of been a general overall problem where the long-term thought process still seems weird. Like they haven't given us any reason on TV why Stephanie should be a heel, even though they've at least leaned into it some here and there.
Like Stephanie basically said, Liv, like you a mean girl and you ain't got it. You ain't good enough. Everybody been hand like basically it's kind of like, you a paper tiger. And what Liv do? She cry. And then she come back like, oh, I'm tough and I'm gonna show you something. And then she basically saying, I wasn't broke like you. I was out here getting facials and suntans. You was out here wrestling for beans. I'm like, come on, nobody trying to hear all that. Not from you. Miss, I had to work my way out of Hooters to get a shot. Like, that old Bill Watts stuff. And it's funny how most people like they heard Liv promo like, oh, Liv had fire, she was kind of heat. And then you had people like, did y'all really hear what she said? Like, she sounded raped like, and put it this way, if Tiffany Stratton cut that promo, it's a whole different reaction about that promo.
Well, yep, the messenger, whether the messenger is received well in general or not, it definitely helps out.
Yes, it helps that people like Liv Morgan, so they kind of let that slide. And I like Liv Morgan too, but I heard that promo and I'm kind of like, it's 2026. What are we like? We still doing this? I thought we kind of cut that out. And it just kind of like, and then coming from Liv Morgan, it's like it's something that, I didn't listen to the show, but I saw the synopsis. Like one of the issues with WrestleMania with the build is one, a lot of people got injured. So they had to throw a lot of storylines together that don't make sense. And it's like, what, WrestleMania gonna be here like what, a month? 5 weeks? And only one storyline seemed to have like some long-term build that makes sense. That's the main event, and that helps, but everything else is kind of like, oh, we're gonna think of something.
Yeah, I mean the vision collectively has definitely been a big part of that injury bug. Boy, they've gone down to like plan F at least on that one at this point. Good gravy.
I
Oh,
mean, like you talk
no
about,
one can seem to catch a break in that group for
I mean,
whatever
too
reason.
many people can't get people, too many people are catching the wrong type of breaks. It's like, oh, what's wrong with the vision? I'm like, well, Bron Breakker was clearly going to have something. He gets hurt. And then Bronson Reed was going to take his place. And then he gets hurt. So, yeah, it's like, and then Seth Rollins, he gets hurt. And I guess he'll be back in time for Mania, but like, was it going to be Seth Rollins versus Austin Theory? Like,
Yeah, or Logan Paul, which has already been done before.
yeah, it's like Logan Paul busy talking like the way they talk. It's like he trying to have a feud with Tom Brady.
Oh boy, yeah, that is boy, if that takes place at WrestleMania, I'm gonna cry. Hopefully it's some other it takes place at some other venue.
You know what's wild about that? For all like Logan Paul is a very athletic person, but Tom Brady is like, yes, you are very athletic, but we talking about football, like, because in real life, like the funny thing is, you wouldn't think about like Tom Brady could probably beat the shit out of Logan Paul even at his age, because it's kind of like football. Football strength is a different type of thing, and like Logan Paul is athletic, but I don't know if Logan Paul can fight. So,
Yeah, all of his actual fights have been, let's say, questionable at best.
I worry, like even his brother's kind of like, I kind of give the side eye, but I've seen his brother throw hands, and it's like Logan Paul's basically a more athletic Shane McMahon, which isn't a bad thing because he's a very athletic person, but it's kind of like, I don't, it's just messy. Like a lot of these matches are like throwing like messy, and it's kind of like
Oh, yeah.
part, and people talking about, oh, whoa, that's stuff. I'm like, if everybody get hurt around the same time, it's only so much you can do. Like that roster deep, but ain't that deep, where it's kind of like all your top people are hurt or pregnant or out or like contract negotiations, and it's like you can only work with what you have, and if you don't have it, you kind of got to work it on the fly, and it's kind of like that's what they're doing for better or worse.
Yeah,
And
I mean
it's leaning
that
more
part is
toward
definitely
worse.
clear.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the problem. Yeah, so maybe it isn't so much the writer's fault as yeah, there are a lot of injury bug problems that are not helping anyone out,
And then
really.
kind of figuring out like who do we want to champ? Like the whole SmackDown title thing is basically Cody is like, I think it's time for Drew to have the belt. Because I'm, the crowd kind of treat me a certain way, and Drew need to get respected. So Drew gets the belt, and he's still acting like he doesn't have the belt. And I was very pleasantly surprised. I was very surprised Randy Orton won the chamber, because I did not think he was gonna win. I'm happy he won, but now they have Cody Rhodes coming in, gonna fight with Drew for the title, and it's kind of like I got a feeling this is gonna be a triple threat at Mania. So.
It definitely smells that way. There's nothing you would think of all the people to be able to book long term for. Cody Rhodes has definitely been in that category recently, And yeah, that like Triple H has done a pretty decent job of leaving crumbs out there for like a secondary feud. There has not really been a secondary feud crumb left out there for Cody other than more Drew McIntyre.
Yes, and it's
And
kind
Randy
of.
Orton, I guess,
Oh, and
really.
also Jacob Fatu is right there in the periphery too. So we might end up having
Oh.
a fatal four way.
That is a real possibility for
Because
this matchup.
they wanted to push Jacob, and then he had to re replace all of his back teeth. When they said tooth injury,
Oof.
they didn't go into details. Maybe in the detail, I'm like, no wonder he was out that long. Because it's like, yeah, dental work sucks. That's you can basically, especially got to get a new mouth. And you're supposed to be wrestling.
Yeah, one would imagine that is pretty jarring to the mouth.
Yeah. And I've heard the
Taking all those
arguments
bumps.
basically saying, like, Drew Randy makes more sense than Cody Randy. And it's kind of like Drew Randy, like, but you're gonna argue about who's they both big, they both got muscles, and they both tweet. Like, there's no what's the storyline there? Besides Randy trying to
Yeah.
get a belt and catch John Cena and Drew trying to stop him. Like, there's no inherent storyline between that. I mean, you could build something in 5 weeks, but it's kind of like you have to build in 5 weeks. You could Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton, talks itself.
Oh,
Second
yeah.
generation versus third generation, mentor versus mentee, former pillar versus current pillar fighting over the title. Like, that story, and they've had crumbs in that storyline for like, what, a year?
At least.
At least.
And because, yeah, the most recent title reign. Oh, I guess since the title reign, really. Because that's when he moved over to SmackDown, and Orton's been on SmackDown for a while
And I
now.
think they've had a match for the title. I want to say at least once. And I think they've had a match.
I don't think so. I think that was the Cena match that you're thinking about of
No,
for the title.
I swore Cody and Randy had like one match. Now I'm
Yeah.
curious because I was wondering about that. Because now Randy's whole thing is, I was nice before, but I ain't gonna be nice no more.
And
Like,
he definitely did not hesitate in the chamber this past weekend because he's just like, oh, Cody's down. I'm giving him an RKO and winning this thing.
hey, what it worked.
Yes, it did. I do not blame him. Book your ticket to WrestleMania, sir.
And it's kind of like Randy Orton is like basically the OG, basically like the Undertaker of WWE right now, where he's like the respected OG. And fans love some Randy Orton. It's like, I would not have a problem with Randy Orton having the title if they want to give it to him.
Yeah, hey, what? Because it's still only 15. I mean, I think he has a while to catch. He still has a couple of title reigns if he wants to catch up to the never seen 17.
Okay, yeah, no. They last time they had a singles match was September 2nd, 2013.
Oh, wow.
So 12 years.
Wow.
So if you want to go that route, you can go that route. And people talking about, well, that's gonna ruin Drew. And I'm like, Drew's basically when Sheamus spot right before he lost the title last to Roman Reigns. It's kind of like he got the title, but it's kind of like he got screwed by the pandemic. And that ship kind of sailed. Whereas, and I don't even blame Drew for it. I just kind of blame just the optics. It's like sometimes it just happens.
No, yeah, he was just in a spot where I say it a lot on the podcast here. It's when you like the long title reigns for your main championship, there just aren't going to be that many people with a reign. You know, like you've really got to stick around like in the main event for like 5 years if you want to wait for your chance. You know, just because you're not always going to be in the right spot to win it.
Yeah, and sometimes it just happens, and then it's kind of like you get it, and it might be too late, and it ain't your fault. It's just how things go. And like Drew's one of those
Yeah.
where he got the belt with no fans, and then he gets the belt again and loses it because of cash in, and now it's like he got the belt, and it's kind of like it was on a SmackDown, and it was kind of like, yeah, you got it, but are you basically a placeholder? And the problem is, As long as Cody Rhodes is in the main event, if Cody Rhodes doesn't have the belt and Cody Rhodes is a babyface, whoever has the belt just feels like a placeholder. If you're like over a certain age, like, you know, like you're over the age of 30, 37, 38, it's kind of like, why you got Cody belt? That's Cody. Like, they've made that belt feel like it's Cody's belt. And anybody, and like, if you're not Cody, got the belt, you feel like a pretender right now.
Yeah, that's why it would be kind of interesting if they just, I think it would help Drew out if Cody were involved in some type of just personal feud. Like if him and Jacob just ended up pairing off for a matchup and just did leave it to Randy and Drew for WrestleMania proper. You know, that might help if Drew ends up getting a win, you know, to like really solidify if you really wanted to solidify his championship reign. But man, I really feel like if Randy Orton was one on one, he's getting that championship
Yeah.
reign.
And I also have a feeling where it's kind of like both on Raw and SmackDown, they're keeping the belts warm for certain people until certain people are ready. Because I haven't talked to you about it. Yeah. Oh, but Femi's the truth. And if it was any doubt, if it was just an NXT thing, it's like, no, it's not an NXT thing. Like, they would have to actively work to mess that up. And they are taking their time with him because they know exactly. And it's kind of like, you know, he can wrestle, you know, he can talk. They build up his personality. They letting stuff be organically. And it's kind of like around SummerSlam time, he gonna be like, he's the future. Like they ha he ha he's a big man with a great look who can talk and does not have a bad match. And it's kind of like, where do you find people like that? Like I cannot think of a bad match he's had since he's been working.
Yeah, and it's wild that you know, another one of those people that has been in the business for 2 years or so, and it's just like, you know, it's amazing what he's done. Just really amazing what he's, and like you said, like on TV, he hasn't had a bad match. Has he been super tested in some weird 60-minute match? No, but you,
Nor should
again,
he.
yeah, exactly. That's I don't want to see Oba Femi in a 60-minute match. He
Yeah.
should beat someone in less time than that, no matter
And
who it is.
he's had competitive matches this last 15 to 20 minutes in NXT, and it's like they've been great matches. Like he can work with people his size, he can work great with people smaller. And it's kind of like if you had any doubt, when he came when the lights went off, or even before the green lights came on, the crowd started chanting. And then he's coming out and they chant for him like he's Goldberg in WCW. And I'm like, yeah. Against Kit Wilson. And which is also Kit Wilson's hilarious. I just like that. I like that back and forth. It's like the presentation's on point, the character's on point, and they know. And it's hilarious where SmackDown went from they don't have enough people, especially like where's the black people at? And then next thing you know, you got Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, and Oba Femi, and it's kind of like,
They were all in, most of them were in NXT. I
yeah.
know that Carmelo's been up there for a minute, but
Yeah, and then and Javon Evans goes to Raw, and it's like the fact that you have Oba Femi doing his thing and Trick Williams doing his at the same time is insane because people talking about, oh, should we train Trick Williams' baby face? I'm like, you don't got to change nothing. Just let him be him. And like basically Trick Williams, like if you combine Booker T and The Rock, you have Trick Williams.
yeah,
You can't go wrong with that.
fair
Like,
combination.
and it's wild because I'm like, it's not that Triple H don't know how to book. It's like, you gotta have, like, before I had was Apollo Crews and the Street Profits. No offense to them. It's like, you know, Carmelo Hayes was a slow burn. And you saw it, Carmelo Hayes' baby face becoming a thing was, I did not guess that, but it worked. And it became a thing. And it's,
Yeah, and I still do think that well, Hayes is bigger than the Johnny Garganos of the WWE, but oof, yeah, I it's always an uphill battle. I know that the Rey
yeah,
Mysterios get there.
but it's but no, only Rey Mysterio got there. So yes,
Daniel Bryan's I would put in
but
that category.
he's a little bigger than Rey Mysterio. It's kind of like
Oh, that's true.
Yes, you can be a certain size and make it if you like the greatest wrestler of your generation. Yes, Rey Mysterio and Daniel, yes, the greatest luchador and the greatest technical wrestler made it. That's kind of saying
That's a
like,
pretty narrow window.
yeah, that's
As
like,
good as Carmelo Hayes is, that's some
yeah.
serious praise.
Spud Webb made it. Why can't you? I'm like, oh, who's Spud Webb besides Spud Webb? Like, it's, yeah, that bar is high. Just because one person does it doesn't mean everybody could do it. But it's like they have, like, basically what I'm saying is they have a lot of young talent that's coming up now, and it's like
Oh.
you train, and Bron Breakker too when he gets back from injury, and it's kind of like people pointed out, rightfully so, and both companies said the WWE, and it's no most on the men's side. Y'all gotta get on a good foot, because I know people are wrestling longer than normal, but you can't have everybody in their 40s.
Oh, yeah, they have. Well, it's one of those ones where that none of those guys that we've kind of just recently mentioned, the younger guys, are going to have a huge, huge spot at WrestleMania, because you can't really build up a whole lot, when you get called up in January, maybe late December for some of them. And WrestleMania, like, they're just it isn't a whole lot of time, but you can definitely tell already that all of them have
They know.
fit in well
Yeah.
already, and was not a surprise that any of those men got a call
Yeah.
up.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I know Javon Evans was that good. I'm like, that man is 21, and you think he'd been wrestling for like 15 years? It's like, of course he's gonna be cheered. Like, he looks like a Power Ranger, and he's cool. That's gonna get cheered. Like, when you can do video game stuff in real life and you're fun and you feel authentic, is like, Jeff Hardy got that for like 2 decades. It's not,
Oh,
it ain't that
yes.
damn hard. Like, Rob Van Dam got that his whole career. If you look cool and you wrestle cool and people think you cool, you're gonna get over. Like,
Yeah, definitely don't overthink this one,
yeah,
guys. Like,
like you
this,
do.
just add all the parts together and we end up with a winner here.
Do we gotta change anything? No, gotta change nothing. It's like they know you amplify it like they did with Penta. Penta came in within 2 weeks. It's like, yeah, he got it. You got like let's add more fireworks. Like, we don't have to really change that much. Like, when they
Yeah,
have it,
more
they have it.
fireworks.
More
If
fireworks.
there's any questions, just more fireworks is the answer for
No, and it's funny, like,
Penta.
it's like they and it's wild where they did this whole thing, like, he fought for the Intercontinental title like 9 times, just the 10th time. I hope he's gonna win it, and then he finally wins it, and a big part of it is Danhausen putting a curse on Dominic Mysterio and that working. And I won't talk about Danhausen too much. I would just say the discourse around is just, I'm like, it is not a big deal. He's gonna be on TV, what, a minute and a half on each show.
I'm just fascinated to see where he fits in. Just the WWE other, because I wouldn't even call R-Truth stuff goofy. And it hasn't been that kind of goofy for a while. Like, Danhausen, like, if he doesn't wrestle, would be unsurprised. You
I
know what I mean?
mean,
Like, I do not see him really logging a lot of ring time
yes,
in the WWE.
he's gonna sell merchandise, pop people, and if you see him in a ring, it's gonna probably be with Mr. Iguana. Like, we know where this is going. Like, we know exactly where this is going, and it's just fine. And it's kind of like it adds to the show. Like what they say about one thing about professional wrestling, it should be some type of entertainment for every age group. And every demographic, little kids are gonna eat that Danhausen shit up. Let them have their fun. You go ahead and like complain about Chad Gable not getting a push all you want. It's like you can watch that. Let some people just want to see promos. Some people just want to see matches. Some people just want to see girls. It should be, oh, I'm sorry, women. It's something for everybody. Like, y'all can like Danhausen gonna have a 15-minute match. Oh, they built all that for him in a box. I'm like, so what?
Oh, I mean, it really wasn't even that much, honestly.
Yeah,
Like,
they just showed the box, and that's it.
they're like, "What's this box?" Oh, don't open until this day. Okay, Like, I mean, it was a 30-second segment at most, for maybe 4 weeks. Maybe. Or I shouldn't even say 4 weeks, four shows.
Yes.
Like two SmackDowns and two Raws, and it's just like, okay, like that's what, a whole 2 minutes? Like that isn't a lot of hype.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's this. What are your thoughts on me, Chris Jericho? Like, it wasn't. I don't think it was anybody in the box that was
Some
going like.
people did think it was Chris Jericho.
And can you imagine if it was Chris Jericho? Like, you just had him in a box all this time? Like, so it's just
It would be
this.
a weird choice if he had shown up in a box, honestly.
Yeah, it's like it's no when you have certain things like that, it's like you're never gonna meet expectations. People have ridiculous expectations anyway, but it's kind of like you get over it. But one last thing before I talk about NXT, they talk about it may be as far as the matches, it might they say at least five, maybe six women's matches. And that seems like it's not a the funny thing is it could probably be more. And it just shows just the like how the women have overshadowed the men. Because the women have, like, beside the title, like the main event titles, all the other storylines are built in. Like, you could do whatever you have enough quality women where you can have enough matches, they all make sense. And it just shows like how deep that roster is, where it's like the fact that you can say you have six women's matches at WrestleMania and it doesn't seem like an issue is insane to think about because it just feels normal.
Yeah, the last couple of call-ups have really helped solidify the depth on the main roster for the women's division so that they could make calls like this. And of course, AJ Lee coming back didn't hurt. Well, yeah.
Yeah, and also having the main event women fight for the tag team titles and have different women fight for the main titles helps both because the main event women are still main event women. And now you elevated other women like Raquel Rodriguez in a much better spot before than she was like 4 months ago, just fighting for the title. Like
Yes.
Jade Cargill's a main eventer, Stephanie Brock Hair's a main eventer. Jordynne Grace fighting for the title means more than when she first showed up. If
Yeah, she's already looked better on the main roster than she did in NXT,
Yeah,
just
you know.
from an optics
Yeah.
standpoint.
You can always scale up Rhea Ripley up and down. You can always scale up Io Sky. Like if Io Sky wanna fight Julia for the US title, that's let them beat the shit out of each other. Like
Sign me
people wanna
up for
see that. People sign that up. It's like,
that
if you're gonna have Asuka and Kairi fight somebody, it's like you have that. You have enough stuff for the women to do that. And even something small is like I make about the joke about Charlotte, how she never beats the allegations. The fact that she had Kiana James pin her to go to the Elimination Chamber is all I need to know when it comes to Charlotte Flair. Besides the fact that they always train together, and it's kind of like, oh, how come Charlotte always seem to hang around a certain group of people? And Charlotte kind of say, oh, I respect the people, I show love to people that show love to me. I don't know what y'all talking about. It's like, yeah. Alexa Bliss is the only person of Charlotte complexion that Charlotte seems to be friends with on that roster. And that does not seem to be an accident. And it's funny where, it's like, if you know, and if you don't know, it's kind of like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Charlotte, like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, yes, I see you in the pictures with Naomi and how you want to have a dream match with Bianca Belair. And I see you and Jade Cargill showing love to each other. And I see you training with Kiana James. And I see you hugging up with Meechan and Lash Legend. But oh, no, I just like people who like me. Yeah. Meanwhile, I see how you talked about Tiffany Stratton and Rhea Ripley and kind of like, and how you and Nia Jax was almost shoot fighting in real life because y'all was like, being a little snug. And it's kind of like, hey, I can kind of put the pieces together. But, if you want to play dumb with me, Charlotte, you just go ahead, keep dressing like, you're the fourth member of Destiny's Child. I'm not going to say nothing. I'll just let you and Alexa just be. I'll just let you and Alexa be friends because that's the whole thing we see in WWE come to women. Oh, Rhea Ripley, her dear friend Io Sky, they're just friends. Watch, they just stroking each other's face and just like, oh, I'm gonna miss you. Go to SmackDown, but you always have my heart. And they just buddies. Yeah, I know. I know what they used to say in the 50s, like, oh, these two people are just roommates because you couldn't say certain things. And it.
Yeah, they let's say they were leading people on at a minimum.
Yes,
I
like.
feel like everyone knows what they're doing in this situation.
And
So,
it's kind of like we know, and they know that we know, and it's kind of like, oh well, we can't say it because we're family entertainment. We could say somebody, we could bury somebody to their daddy, but we can't have women kissing on our show. This ain't ECW. That they're just friends who just hugging each other and hugging around. And I'm a dress like you, and let's share ice cream, and let me stroke your face. And it's like, friends, sure, okay. Cool, friends.
That's what you call
Yeah,
it, huh?
like, and speaking of, there's a perfect pivot to NXT. People who used to be friends like that and broke up, Zarya and Sol Ruka.
Yeah, Zaruka, really officially done, I would say, after this past week's NXT.
Yeah, something that's been building for a long time. And the wild thing is, I don't know if they did it on purpose or that's the plan. Sol Ruka been acting heelish for a while. And that's like, I can see why people are like, why is the crowd cheering for Zara? I'm like, because they see what we see. Like,
Yeah, it was definitely bad optics for Sol Ruka for more than a minute now.
yeah, I'm sorry, I just wanted to fight for the title. Oh, don't you got two belts? Yeah, but what's wrong with having three belts? Aren't we friends? It's like, if I don't have it, then you can get it next. And Zara's like, I want to fight for a title. I'm busy being your bodyguard. And Sol was like, yeah, but I don't mean to be selfish, but I'm gonna try to get a title. And it's like we, and it's like, oh well, Sol Ruka cool, and she looked pretty, and it's kind of, but it's like, yeah, Sol Ruka has probably like low key been an asshole. For a while, and people have kind of pointed out, and people are like Booker T is like, what type of friendship is this? She out here being greedy, and it's like it don't help that she's saying that, and JC Jane rightfully saying like, that's your friend. How come every week she fight for the title? Where your title at? Like she pointed that out. Blake Monroe pointed that out. It's like you got all the heels pointing out how selfish your friend is. Booker T pointed out, the crowd see it, and Soul's like, oh, I didn't mean it. It just happened that way.
Yeah, this is all part of the mandatory NXT training. Sol Ruka is in her you gotta turn heel phase here in the Shawn Michaels NXT.
But
It's mandatory for the young people before they go up to the main
I
roster.
don't, but the thing with her is, I don't see her being a good heel because she's too likable and her moveset's too cool. It's kind of like, you can have a cool moveset and be a heel if you're an asshole. But I don't think she can be an asshole. I mean, she can be one, inadvertently, but I don't think she could be a mean girl. I don't. Yeah, it's like a puppy dog. She'd be making a puppy dog faces like, I'm just Sol Ruka, you gonna hurt me? But she do that little thing with her lip and turn it down. She like a cat, she like a cat meme. And it's like, I ain't booing her.
Yeah, so you're thinking that she can't pull off like the the
Come,
only
she
thing
can't do
I
the cut. She
cool
can't.
RVD is a heel, you
Yes.
know? Like he did enough to get himself booed on the mic. Like his moveset was still cool 'cause like I mean that stuff never changed no matter what he was doing, but he's the only one that I can think of that would be in a
Like a
similar
perfect
situation.
comparison is kind of like, I don't think she could do what Kalani Jordan's doing right now.
Oh, yeah, fair.
So, and I'm curious to see where this whole like the NXT show that's come on Saturday has three women matches, and it's not, and one of them not even the world title match. Like that's how deep the roster is in NXT still. And it's kind of like you got JC Jane fighting both of like Zara and Sol Ruka. And I have no idea where that's going. Like, I don't know if JC just gonna keep winning and who's gonna beat her. I don't know if Sol Ruka wins. I don't know if Zarya wins and then Sol Ruka beats her. Cause it's kind of like, JC don't really got anything much to. I mean, she's awesome as a champ, but it's kind of like it's time to graduate at this point.
Oh, yeah. There are a couple of people still left in NXT that it's just like, what are you doing here?
I mean, I know what they're doing. It's kind of like, wait for WrestleMania season to be over, to start anew. And it's wild where they just graduated like three people, and they got like four more ready to graduate. It's kind of like NXT just keep losing people on the women's side, and it doesn't make a difference. Like they just chugging along. Like you never worry about the depth because the depth is insane. But it's like you.
And it is kind of wild that the men on NXT have gotten more TV time, but like you said, like the PLE has three women's matches, and they all have
Built-in storylines.
they all have storylines that are better than
Yeah,
the
like Izzy, Damon, Tatum, Paxi, that shit been building for months. And
men's.
it's kind of like you have a vested interest. Like, you want to see Tatum, Paxi just beat the crap out of Izzy Dane, because Izzy Dane just been a monster the whole day, like a manipulating monster the whole time. And now Tatum was like, all right, you want to go down there? I'm going to go there. I can get crazier than you. And what you going to do about it? Like she was chasing people around with a chainsaw. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, who let her? I always make the joke of like, if you're gonna have a no holds bar match, really go no holds bar. But the fact that she is running around with a chainsaw, and I'm like, oh, I guess she was listening. I wouldn't thought it fits her character. It's just insane to think like, I don't think that's allowed. Like you could actually murder somebody, but it's like you.
Yeah, they're doing the old House of Horrors gimmick with the with
I
that
mean, the fact that she started off as like the fourth member of Diamond Mine to see where she is now, it's kind of like you forget that's the same person. Because sometimes I forget that's the same person. When I see old pictures of Tatum Paxton, I'm like, yeah, she looks completely different, but she wrestles the same. Which is even wilder. It's like a power lifter that can do a 450. Okay, that's a golf girl. Like, yeah.
it's she has a very weird combination of move set and look that is generally not found together. You know, you are looking at like more of the Kalani Jordans and Sol Ruka's of the division, where it's just like, oh yeah, it makes sense. They came from like cheer and whatever the hell else, like acrobatics, I think was the.
And then you forget, like, but so did she. And it's kind of like basically
Oh,
yeah,
I did not know
yeah,
that then.
that was the whole thing of Diamond Mine. We got this super athlete from Texas that could do all this stuff. And it was like when she had her brown hair and all that makeup, and she's with Ivy now, it looked normal. When she looks like a Chucky villain and doing all that, it's like that shit don't make sense. But Tatum Paxton is basically like if you was doing a creative character on WWE 2K and you were 13 years old going through a depressive state. You would have her look like that and give her that cool move set. And the fact that she has that in real life, and the fact that the crowd has a vested interest because they seen her growth, they seen all the stuff she went through, both in storyline and real life. Because that whole thing is like, all my friends got fired, and I'm the only one left. It's like, yeah, that resonated.
I mean, that was the origin of what is now this push, honestly. Like, it is wild that that really did. Like, I feel like she'd done some groundwork to establish some type of trust with the crowd, but that all my friends got fired and I'm finally getting a push is
All my friends and my
for my
husband.
husband. Should not forget about that part.
It's like, and then Izzy Dane trying to pretend to be your friend while everybody's like, she gonna stab me in the back, and it's like, I don't got all my friends gone. If she gonna be nice to me, I'm gonna take what I can get, which makes it all tragic because like it's nothing about Izzy Dane that seemed trustworthy at all. Like,
Oh,
just
no, she just looks bitchy without even
without even trying, it just works.
without even trying. It is pretty wild.
And then the Kalani Jordan Lola Vice feud has also it's been funny because it's kind of like it's like they've been feuding for a while over kind of like who's gonna get a title shot, who's gonna get pushed in the back of the line. Like it's always been
Oh
something
yeah.
bubbling with them, which because
And
it seems like they're fighting
when
over the
did?
same spot.
Well, yeah, and I mean it at least started when did Kalani become TNA champion? Because Lola was the one, kind of the head woman, throwing her out of the NXT locker room, So I mean, yeah, this feud is another one. Like you said, like it's been simmering for a while. Like it hasn't been a full on, every week in and
No.
week out
You know
kind of
when it
thing.
started? Even before Kalani won, when Kalani was going for it, because they used to be friends. And then it was kind of like Loda was, kind of like, Kalani, you acting out of character. Why are you angry all the time? And Kalani basically saying, like, you need to mind your business. Like, Kalani started, like, toughen up. Then she won a title, and Lola Vice pretended she the Undertaker, like, kicking you out the lock. This were NXT people only, while Lola's moonlighting in AAA. And then it just got personal, and now it's this whole Kalani Jordan is, training with Shayna Baszler. The doctor telling Lola Vice, if you don't get this fixed, your hand might never work again. It's like I'm gonna take one for the team, and it's just I'm looking forward to the match because they both are awesome, and Kalani is a
Oh.
heel. Like Kalani basically is like I'm gonna act like Carmelo Hayes.
Well, yeah, she's one that definitely, at least up front, it's just like, is this gonna work? And she maybe had a little bit of a slow start to the heel turn. It's really starting to round out
Yes.
now, though, that they've given her more time to work her way into this category
Yeah,
or this character.
she just walk around like I'm better, teehee. Like she guys got this whole not evil, but just like this whole snotty type heel thing where it's kind of like, I'm better than you. I gotta really prove anything. Like good luck catching up to me. But she still got the moves that she got. Like
Oh.
she's a bitchy cool heel as a woman. It normally don't go that way. Like when you normally bitchy, you ain't cool. And when you normally cool, you ain't bitchy. And somehow she able to do both and it works. And it's funny how Lola Vice went from the cool heel to the cool baby face. And she can play both. And it's kind of like, NXT Underground is her territory. So Kalani's kind of like, well, I'm going to train with Shayna. I'm going to learn how to do it. And then that whole training is hilarious because basically Shayna's trying to show her how to do it the right way. And Kalani's cheating like it's in Mortal Kombat. Like, well, you try to sweep, I'm just going to do a flip because I'm cool. Or I'm going to do cool stuff. It's not going to matter. And she has the thing like Lola's coming in there injured. And they've been playing up that injury for like a month at least.
it's been a little while, yeah.
So like long-term booking. Like I just love, and it's like both of them are ready to go to main roster, but it's kind of like they still got stuff to do in NXT, and you can see it going either way. And it's just like they just have such a deep damn roster of stars. The fact that the other match that don't even involve a title, Blake Monroe and Jada Parker, and I'm like, I don't know why they started fighting, but it got real personal real fast. Like it did not take long for them to like, I don't like you and you don't like me, and we gonna settle this. Like we just gonna have a street fight. Like enough talking. Let's just fight. Cause I think it started like Jada was like, I had my setbacks. I'm coming back from injury. And Blake is like, wham, wham, stop crying. Nobody trying to hear that shit. And they just had a feud.
Well, yeah, that one's just been weird just because there was that Jada Parker is super injured kind of thing, and then it's like 2 weeks later she's back out here wrestling,
Yeah, it is like, oh, cause, I
basically.
mean, because it looked like she fell on her neck, and it's like, she really hurt, and she spun it, and she just back a week later, and it's like, I guess not, and people point out, hey, Blake Monroe, like, I don't need a belt, because whenever I come out, y'all all got your eyes on me, y'all all shut up and listen to me talk, I'm the star of the show during my segment, I don't need a title, I'm the title, and she is not wrong, it's like, she's doing exactly what she want to do, and it's a funny thing where it's kind of like she's not in a title feud, she's not at the top of the card, and it doesn't matter because she's just a star, and she carries herself as a star, and they treat her like one.
Yeah, do not need a championship to be a star. Like she's going to be on that list of I'd be completely unsurprised she makes it up to the main roster without the main championship belt reign at any point. Like in that, I mean, we all saw what we saw in AEW. We know that she doesn't really need any seasoning, if any at all, honestly. Like give her the WWE crash course on how you want her to adjust to, what she was already doing before, and then That's all she really
I mean,
needed,
it's basically
honestly.
it's kind of like the main roster is too crowded. We can have you be a superstar at NXT, and when you're ready to graduate, you'll be ready to graduate, and we'll have the next mutant coming in because we just hired, oh, I was a 5'6" Olympic gymnast hopeful, and then I was a Tropicana model, and now I'm in Florida NXT wrestling. And, oh, what did you do? I was the record holder of the javelin in Croatia. And
Oh
now I'm
gosh.
rest and now I'm rest like
Which
I'm making
one
up
is
stuff like
that?
no, I'm just making that up, but it's kind of
Oh.
like you think of like it's like some Carmen Petrovic on Evolve is like, oh yeah, I was a karate champion. I would have went to the Olympics if it wasn't for COVID. And I looked the way I look, and now I just happen to wrestle. And it's kind of like they just seem to have five of those. Like, and I saw the picture of like, Blake Monroe and Chantel Monroe, and it's like, yeah. I forget about like of course, you guys got supermodels. This whole I
Oh.
watched Total Divas and I decided I wanted to wrestle era. I like that because it's kind of like they had these women like we were around the same age. We remember how women looked in wrestling, and it's kind of like Trish Stratus was the exception. She was not the rule, and now it's kind of like they all like that now.
I mean, and like you said, like they all end up with some type of, it's just like all kinds of accolades where you're just like, huh? Even the new people that they bring in, because they have the one was Callie Armstrong, that's the gold medalist. And was
Oh
she
yeah,
gold?
we just found Kendall Gray. She the next Kurt. She
Yeah.
imagine Kurt Angle, but a woman.
Yeah. Kendall Gray was on my list of like, I'm like, come on, man. What a, how, are they just growing them on trees down there?
The
Like,
fact
the
they have
hell?
a real life gold medal that Tasha May still can't get time. Like she just won a gold medal, and they trying to figure out what to do with her because it's like it's just so damn crowded, and it's like. Even people forget about it's like they treated Rhea Ripley like a joke for 6 months. It's like, oh yeah, she can wrestle. Let's just have her wrestle. And then it's like, oh yeah, I forgot Rhea Ripley can wrestle her ass off and has a personality. Like they can move people between Evolve and NXT. Like people might have thought Nikita Lyons was fired. It's like, oh, she's still working? It's like, yeah, she's been in Evolve working on her character and kind of like not getting hurt. So they rewarded her. It's like they have like Carmen Petrovic, they have Wendy Chews that can move up and down because it's just even with all the people leaving, it's so damn crowded in NXT that people don't have time and they keep signing people and recruiting people and it's like the women it's not a problem. The men, I mean, yeah.
It's still
Work in progress, but getting better.
it's be yeah, I was gonna say it's been better than probably the last time that you and I talked, because like the cream of the crop did move up, and hey, you might question some of the decisions, which is fine, but I at least know more of the faces that are there, and I don't think I've talked to you about it. I've been shocked by the already coming along of one Shiloh Hill, quite frankly.
Yeah, I didn't think that was in the cards.
Yeah, like I was not feeling it the first couple of segments that they did with him, but then I'm like, oh, okay, he's one of my weirdo friends, is really what it came down to.
Oh,
Like
you mean Mr. I didn't believe in school because I was busy eating glue. But those vignettes, yeah, I forgot all about
Yeah.
those vignettes. I was sitting there, I was like, what are they trying to sell? HBK is a mad genius. Like, he saw something. Like it.
It ended up working out in the end, but it had a really bad start
I mean, because it's kind of
to
like,
it.
what are you trying to sell? And then it's kind of like, oftentimes, it's one of those things where you have to let things play out, and then all of the earlier work. The early foundation building plays off, but if you don't see the vision, I mean, you're an architect, you kind of know. You may have a vision of something, but a layman might see, like, why are you doing this way? And then by the time it's finished, it's like, oh, it makes sense. And you're like, of course it makes sense. That's why you hired me, dummy.
Yeah, you can't always think about what's directly under your nose. Like you do need to have you need to have more of a forest from the trees kind of view when you're in that an HBK like position, honestly. Like Sometimes that tree is going to be an ugly tree, and you've just got to work through it. So,
I mean, Shallow
it
Hill.
worked.
Yeah. Keanu Carver, basically, if Black Air Force One energy was a real person, that's Keanu Carver. Like, I ain't here to talk these bullshit promos. I'm not here to cut interviews. I'm just trying to beat somebody up. And the fact that they built on that whole controversy where those tweets about certain Samoans, and he still got a push because I don't know if people know, it's like he had a feeling. He basically insinuated that they kind of like doing blackface, and he didn't appreciate that.
I did
Oh
not see
yeah,
these
it was a
tweets.
yeah. He had some thoughts about some of the bloodline that a lot of people kind of feel like it's fans, but you don't normally say that stuff when you work there, because you work there and you like get fired. And yeah, he said some stuff, and then he came back and he just walked around. The whole it was funny. It was like, oh, you got anything to say? Get that microphone out my goddamn face. No, I got nothing to say. Like, he was not here to play those games. He just out here. He's one of those where it's kind of like he makes wrestling look real, because he got that. He has menacing energy around him. Like, I am not messing with that man. Not like Jasper Troy walk around with a big ass chain. It's like I'm pretending to be a tough guy. Keanu Carver looks like a tough guy. And he carries himself like, yeah, I ain't here for no arm drag. I'm gonna beat your ass. And don't ask me about it.
Yeah, it is kind of wild that they almost immediately replace Obafemi with Keanu Carver. It's just like, oh yeah, we had a second one of these just waiting. We just felt like breaking him out of the plastic wrapping until Oba went up to the main roster. It's like, huh? I'm like, how did this happen? Like, you guys
Yeah.
haven't had any good guys, and then you're bringing, like you said, like he has, yeah, a genuinely menacing quality that Jasper Troy, despite his enormous size,
His
does not
Sons of
quite
Anarchy.
have.
Yeah, every time he comes on, Jeff start he'll text me the Sons of Anarchy song, because he's like, he cannot stand Jasper Troy at all. That it's something about, black man doing a motorcycle gimmick. And I always laugh because it just pisses him off so much, and I know why. Because like, it's somebody pretending to be a biker, like, because that chain is ridiculous. I'm like, you're gonna hurt your neck carrying that thing around. Like, why y'all here looking like you Lobo? Like, cut that shit out. And then but I mean, it stands out. Like, they're elevating something. Like, even with Dark State, it's kind of like Dion Lennox is kind of like, I'm the leader. And I'm establishing myself like away from the group. They finally decided, like, push Miles Bourne, because like I thought Ethan Page was gonna have that title forever the way they was booking him, because he was just beating everybody on every damn show, on every damn company. And it was kind of like, if Miles Bourne wasn't gonna beat him, I was like, I don't know who gonna beat him, because he kind of like ran out of people to fight.
Yeah, it was kind of Paige was in it, another one that's just in a weird spot. It's just like, are you gonna keep him down in NXT just to kind of be this player coach kind of situation, or is he another
No.
one just waiting until
I mean,
WrestleMania season to get up to the main roster?
the way they're talking is like they're very high on him with good reason, because like he thrives no matter what situation they have him in. It works. And it's like, like pro wrestling, this thing where it's almost hard to hate a heel. I cannot, in a wrestling way, I could not stand Ethan Page. It's like, I just wanted him to lose. Because it was like he just played a smarmy heel perfectly. It was like, I can't wait for him to lose. And it's kind of like, that's how you're supposed to feel. And
Oh.
he made me feel that way. Because it was like him and JC Jane good, like, oh, they won again. Like, ugh. Not in this whole turn off the TV, but it's like,
Yeah,
I wish you
you're
lost.
genuinely upset that they still won, even though, like, logically in your
Yeah,
brain, you've watched enough
logically
wrestling.
it makes sense. Like, I know why, but I'm just like, I make that sounds like, what? When pro wrestling works, it works, because I'm getting close to 50. I'm still feeling that way about pro wrestling. So, but kudos to Miles Bourne for finally winning. And then they had that It's like somebody having a match and both of them in dress clothes. It's like you gotta be athletic to throw a drop kick in some slacks in church shoes.
The fact that no one slipped really in that match is pretty impressive in some penny loafers or whatever those two gentlemen were actually wearing.
And it's kind of like, people like Miles Bourne. And Miles Bourne has a very good, backstory and storyline, and it just works. And that whole disabled Randy Orton line they give him is like might be tacky, but it's like you see little, I can see the little glimpses of Randy Orton, like similar build, similar athletic style, like how young Randy used to be, because old Randy now is basically like that. Like, look, you gotta be doing that flippy shit. Like, relax. So I laugh how Randy Orton is just kind of like the grand, like, who you looking up to. Oh, Oberfemi Triple Woman Javon Evans. They the future. Because, like, some people actually, some to watch tape because they actually want to learn, and some assholes just watch tape because they say that's what they're supposed to do. They don't change anything. And the fact that he said that is like, oh, you just one of them assholes. Like, you just did that because you think you're supposed to. But you ain't really learning. Not like the black wrestlers. And like I just laugh how Randy Orton just became like the locker room leader that everyone looks up to. That's still cool. Like, I know he's been there long enough for that to work, but the fact that he did it and didn't wash out is just still wow, because it's kind of like.
I feel like we're in like year five of this phase, and I've still not gotten over how wild that situation is because somewhere like on Stunt Granny Audio 10, we were making fun of Randy Orton shitting in someone's gym bag.
Yes.
So.
And now he's out here bobbing his head to Triple Woman's music, just having a good old time. And like, teaching Javon Evans like, how to work and how to work smart. And everybody treat Randy Orton like he's the dad. Like, they treat him like he's the Undertaker. Like, we all listen to Uncle Randy. He's the damn man. I look up to him. I love learning from him. The fact that they talk about him like that, considering what we know how he grew up and what he was doing for a long time on that roster, it's just like, I mean, I guess you get enough time, sometimes it work out.
Time is a weird thing. and
Yes.
things have definitely changed way more into the positive for Mr. Orton as time has gone along here.
Speaking of time, and we won't talk too much about, NXT. Imagine somebody, let's say 3 years ago, would tell you that the top of the NXT roster would have Joe Henry and Ricky Starks, aka Ricky Saints, feuding over the title on a show on a CW that was getting higher ratings than AEW. What would you say to that?
It's kind of wild. I like, it's one of those things where Ricky Saints, I feel like I've seen a lot of people kind of continue over the same gimmick. And sometimes, most of the times, I'm getting a little bit tired of it. The WWE is really letting Saints. It's the proverbial. I feel like the Will Ferrell segment there with Christopher Walken and Blue Oyster Cult. They're letting Ricky Saints explore the room here with this gimmick now. Like, this is not something that was really touched on in AEW. That I'm kind of interested in letting him like Shawn Michaels is letting him cook, and it's been a lot of fun because he's been an opposite one where you were talking about not knowing how Sol Ruka would do as a baby face. It's just like one of those things where it's just like they brought in Saints is a baby face, and it's just like, oh, thank goodness he's a heel again. Like, I don't know what it is about Ricky Saints, the man just seems way more comfortable as a heel.
Because he is a super confident prick that looks the way he looks. That's why. Like, okay, I'm gonna give you some inside baseball. If you watch New Jack City and you saw how G Money acted, it's like people with that complexion tend to act a, you know, it's a stereotype that they tend to act a certain way, that kind of rub the wrong way. And like Ricky Saints is the quote unquote stereotypical light skinned asshole. And you don't have a lot of those in pro wrestling. Like Carmelo Hayes was doing that, but not as flamboyant because he's from Boston, so it's gonna be a different type of energy. Like Ricky Saints is from the
Oh.
South. Ricky Saints has Southern energy. He's the type where it's like, yes, I can wear a pink shirt with green flowers, and you can make fun of me because I got the pants that got the same waist as your girl. But guess what? If I want to take your girl, I would take your girl. You couldn't do nothing about it. And people mad at him because he's telling the truth. Like, yeah, you can't dress like Ricky Saints, but Ricky Saints can, and he can make it look good because he believes in himself, and that pisses people off because it's and. You know, I worked. He already a guest star on CW shows, looking like a natural. And it's like, yes,
Oh.
that man is a natural. Like he has charisma and talent. The only thing that was holding him back was kind of like opportunity and size. And WWE decided like that is not gonna hold. If you can do it, you can do it. That I laugh how people
Well,
I laugh how people was like
hey.
this whole, oh well, you just pretend to be the Rock. Since when was that a bad thing?
And I would definitely argue that Mr. Saints, though he hasn't like packed on 30 pounds or
Yeah,
anything, he's
yeah.
on the WWE diet where like the man's added like a solid 10 pounds of muscle,
Hey.
15 maybe. Like it's just like you go from too small to
Just
okay,
enough.
now
Yeah.
yeah, just enough without overdoing it and what. Without getting too bloated, it's just like, yeah, it really helps the
Like,
visuals
it's
when you
funny
do something like
where
that.
Adam Cole was the only person that seemed to get smaller when they got to WWE. Everybody else either stays the same size or gets bigger. You know.
Yeah, it is. Adam Cole is a modern miracle. Only person not to get bigger in NXT.
Like he got smaller. And it's like
Yeah,
people wondered
wild.
about that. But no, the Joe Henry, Ricky Saints feud works because they're both funny in their own way. They're both hilarious. They can both wrestle entertaining. And it's kind of like Ricky Saints making fun of Joe Henry's gimmick works. Because it's like Joe Henry gimmick only works for Joe Henry. Because that shit, I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I'm like, who is this goofball? I was like, this shit is goofy. And I'm like, y'all like this? And then I just started watching more. And I think the first time I saw it, like in WWE, I was like, oh, I understand. Like, it just clicked. It's like, I don't know what it was. It's like, oh, it's something. I still can't wrap my head around it. It works. It shouldn't work, but it works. And it's like, it should be silly nonsense, but that whole, don't say his name, like he's Candyman. And he's just popping up in closets and trash cans, and everybody's popping. It's like, and the fact that Booker T went from hating that man to singing his song is hilarious. Cause it's kind of like, yeah, Joe
Oh.
Henry's this whole, if you work hard enough, you can make it work. And people forget that man showed up at the Royal Rumble, everybody singing this music. That man wrestled Randy Orton at WrestleMania as the TNA World Champion. We kind of brushed it off, but like, that's a big damn deal. Like,
Yeah, and I mean it was pretty interesting for him to acknowledge that and even go, you know what, that was a great moment, but I know that I still have work to do. Like it's one of those, it really helps sell that working man, I worked my way up kind of situation where it's just like, okay, like I got that spotlight part, but I do know that I still have work to do here.
yeah, when he finally gets the promotion, he gonna make a lot of money on that roster, on the main roster. Like that crowd is gonna eat that goofy shit up. Cause and if y'all have any doubt about that, we can wrap up with this. LA Knight has been over for 3 years, despite WWE's greatest attempt to try to ignore him. And it's like it ain't working. I'm seeing him in real commercials. I'm seeing him in TurboTax commercials with Stephanie Vaquer. Like, y'all know he a star. The crowd knows he a star. Everybody treat him as a star. It's like, what y'all waiting? Like, what are y'all doing?
I'm glad you brought that up. That was something that Chris and I did not talk about. That commercial killed me. Like, am I going to use Intuit TurboTax now? No. But anytime I see Stephanie Vaquer and Penta
Penta and LA Knight.
doing their in LA Knight doing their taxes in full wrestling gear, yep, sign me up for that dumb goofy
It's memorable.
shit.
And it's like LA Knights and Slim Jim commercials. LA Knights and this is like LA Knight. We didn't talk about that whole, I was laughing my ass off that whole plan where it's like we beat up the Vision and then kidnapped him with the ambulance. Like all the baby faces, like that is some Attitude Era nonsense that we haven't had in a long time. I'm like, I know a Stone Cold Steve Austin A-Team plan when I see one, and that's exactly what that was. Normally, that's something like normally we used to like heels being smart and baby faces being stupid. You rarely see baby faces working together to be smart, and it's like I just like seeing that because it's like one thing about LA Knight is he's smart. Yeah, he's a smart, cool baby face, and he treats himself like I'm a smart, cool baby face. And it's kind of like, I know why they don't put the title on him because it's like too crowded up top, but it's kind of like, he over. He's been over. He's not gonna stop being over. I know this whole, oh, it's gonna be a gimmick, it's gonna fade away, we just gotta wait it out. Yeah, we're on year three of that. Waiting that shit out. It has not worked. So they're gonna have to do something. I don't know when they go. I don't know when they're gonna do it, but it's kind of like y'all gonna have to figure it out. Cause y'all keep pushing him, and he keep getting cheered, and he keeps selling merchandise. So it's like y'all know what y'all have with him, but it's kind of like it's this whole. Are they not sure?
Yeah, like it's one of those paradox things. Like, you wouldn't think they'd say yes to letting him do the commercials if they didn't know the other direction, you know? So it's just like every time you see him pop up in more and more commercials, you're like, why aren't you putting the belt on this guy? Like, you guys know that he's good enough to be in commercials for your sponsors. Like, what more do you want out of this guy?
I mean, because we got CM Punk and Roman Reigns. I get the whole thing. It's like if you got CM Punk and Reigns on one side, you got Cody Rhodes on the other side, it's always like a ceiling. But it's like that worked a couple years ago. We're in 2026 now. It's like you can't use that anymore. Like,
Well, yeah, and I think that it's something I'm not sure that we've necessarily advocated, but it's something that we've definitely talked about more recently. Shorter title reigns, like they just need to do it. You know, it was nice having the 4 year title reign of Roman Reigns or whatever the hell it was. How long did Gunther have the championship? You know, like he had the Intercontinental Championship for a ridiculous amount of time and really the main championship for a solid amount of time.
and Cody had his for a long, and it's wild where it's kind of like we used to complain about not having title reigns that meant something. Then we realized like, oh, some of these people had the belt like a long time, or like I know JC Dane title reign was consecutive. It feel like she's had that belt forever. The fact that I'm just a transitional champion, nobody respect. I'm like, not no more, sis. Like you like Shane Douglas at this point. Like.
The fact that that was one where there are still times when I roll my eyes at Booker T, and he's almost like, Vic, you haven't given her enough props. And it's just like, Vic's like, I just ran down like the laundry list of what she's done since like the year and a half ago that we were calling her the most beatable champion. Like he's like, I can't do anything else here, dude. Like, leave me the
Yeah, but it's kind of like I think WWE is like in a transition period where it's kind of like they know the future's kind of now. Cause you know it's like all AJ Styles retired, Cena retired, other people talking about how I don't have as much time left. It's kind of
I mean,
like,
you do have to question whether Roman Reigns is real about it or not. How much time really does CM Punk have left?
I mean, CM Punk, like, his whole thing is, I want to be the main event WrestleMania. He gonna be the main event WrestleMania, and he gonna be on night two. So you can't do the whole, well, night one don't count, even though it's like, yes, it do. Now you don't even have to ask excuse anymore. It's kind of like, he gonna be world champion in the main event of night two of WrestleMania. So you're at the top of the mountain. If he beats Roman Reigns, he ain't got nothing else to prove. It's kind of like, you beat the damn man and kept the title on the main event of WrestleMania. It's like, yeah, you don't got to do anything
You've
else.
accomplished your goal. Like
Yes.
that really is his only goal. Like if he gets that done, yeah, that man can be out by the end of the year if he wanted to.
I mean, who knows if he wants to, but it's kind of like, CM Punk probably don't got that much time left, depending on who you want. Roman Reigns, I'm like, y'all making jokes. He about to be in a Street Fighter movie. He's been popping up in movies. Y'all make he got those teeth for a reason. It was not for wrestling. Y'all can crack all them jokes all you want. But it's like the writing should have been on the wall when he did that. Like, you a certain age, and it's always kind of like, he's dealt with cancer multiple times. So it's kind of like, I want to keep doing that while wrestling when I hit my 40s. When it's like, my cousin keeps saying, like, you want to get these SAG checks? Like, you think about that. It's like, Drew McIntyre's been popping up in more movies. And it's like, people, like, you hit a certain age, and it's kind of like, I don't know how much longer Finn Balor gonna wrestle. It's like, you have a lot of people that's like that, where it's kind of like, I've done everything I need to do. What else I need to do? So it's time to get on the good foot and start pushing these young people, or the people that you haven't been pushing. Like, if you're gonna push LA Knight, now's the time. If you ain't gonna do it now, when you gonna do it?
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that he is kind of the young guy in that room. Like, I know that he's not young, obviously, but compared to the even another one that we've been talking about a lot this show, Randy Orton. How many years does that guy realistically have left?
Well,
He definitely works smarter and not harder. I mean, I will give him that, but he will retire at some point, you know?
he said he wanna last till 50. I don't know if he will, but I mean, he say he's having fun, and he looks the way he looks, and it's kind of like, it's still wild that Randy Orton just looks a damn monster. Like, you just like he is huge.
The fact that they keep on announcing him at 280 is something wild.
He'd be like, nah, I'm more like 295. He'd be out here whispering in the camera. But it's kind of like, yeah, you got, like, as people pointed out, where, and I've done this discussion with you, like, if you eliminated all the men under 40, how many men would you have that's credible in WWE? And it ain't that many. But if you did that with the women, you have plenty, and they just keep on, and the women just keep on coming. And the women rightfully pointed out, we can wrap it up, it's like, why y'all talking about we too old to do this? And it's like, y'all be letting the men wrestle till they in their 40s. So why can't, like, I don't know if I talked to you, like, when Nikki Bella wrestled Steffi Vacaire for the title, and we saw how Nikki Bella looked, and it's like, oh yeah, she wrestled long, she won. Like, even before the match started, I saw Nikki Bella. I was like, oh, somebody was in the gym. Because as somebody that's been working out in my 40s, you can still kind of look the way you look in your 30s. It just take a lot more work. And the fact that
Yeah,
she was,
yes,
the
it
fact that she
does.
looked, yeah, and I was watching, I was like, ain't a whole lot of people that can keep up the looks with Stephanie Vaquer and not get blown away. And I was like, she's still doing it. People were forgetting, like, Trish was still coming back and having great matches at that age. It's like, Becky is almost 40, Charlotte and Bailey, and it's like, and Nia, and they all thriving. So this idea is like, before it was kind of like, we done show before, like, oh, it used to be, you hit 28, you have a baby, it's a wrap. You should be a woman, that used to be the rule.
Now there are multiple examples of women with children on TV shows.
I have a baby. I have a baby and come back, and keep it pushing. And it's like it's fact that AJ Lee is wrestling Becky Lynch in a feud, and AJ Lee looks the same she looked before, except for she's more toned. And Becky
Yeah,
Lynch.
she's got more abs. It's just like, huh? How's this fair? Like, you're a decade older. Get out of
Yeah,
here.
and Becky Lynch looks like she gets in better shape each year, and it's kind of like it don't work that way. And it's just kind of like you have all these people like they just ageless and can still wrestle and it's still great. And it's kind of like it's this amazing thing that we have in women's wrestling, and it's like women are out here pushing it and like they're the stars of the show. And the men is kind of like we gotta hang on to our spot. We gotta keep on pushing. And it's like, do you really have to? Like, I always like these boomers. Like, I see somebody that's working to their 70s. I'm like, why? You really like work that much? Like, let someone else do it. Because guess what? When I'm able to retire, I'm retiring the earliest it makes sense. You won't be bored? No, I will not be bored. I ain't out here trying to work till I die. No, that all these wrestlers, I'm trying to hold on like Ric Flair. I think I got one more match in me. Man, oh, let that shit go. I do not want to see you dying in the ring like it's the wrestler. And I know these wrestlers look better than they do before, but it's kind of like AJ Styles, like, are you going to AEW? No, I'm going to be a family man. Like, I've been thinking about retiring for like a year. My neck hurt. I'm old. I'm ready to hang with my family. What about Will Ospreay? What about Will Ospreay? Like,
That's one that's been cracking me up. Like, how did he go out like that? And it's just like, the man's been doing this for like 20 years, guys. Like,
25.
did you forget his history? Like,
Yeah.
yeah, he's got nothing left to prove against Will Ospreay. Get out of here.
Oh, I mean, they can wrestle in Britain. Who gives a rat's? Like, that's what y'all want to see. People, and I just laugh. It's like, I get why they want to see it, but it's like, do you care about the
Oh,
wrestler or
yeah.
do you care about yourself? It's like, what they gonna do with AJ Styles? Oh, he can, like, what's AJ Styles got to prove at this point?
Oh,
Nothing.
other than nothing, nothing.
Nothing. Like, people forget he was involved in the last match of The Undertaker. What's a match with Will Ospreay going to mean? No offense to Will Ospreay or Swerve Strickland, but what's a that it does not gonna move AJ Styles. Like, AJ Styles has wrestled everybody under the damn sun.
He's really going to lock in that Hall of Fame cred when he beats Swerve Strickland at All Out.
I'm like, I know y'all want to see that so y'all can chant. And like, well, and no offense, well, Oscar's gonna have the same match that he has against everybody. It's gonna be an awesome match, and y'all gonna give him 6 stars, and people gonna move on with their lives. And it's no offense to Will Ospreay, but it's like that don't mean nothing. Like, well,
Yeah,
AJ Styles obviously has made money. He's obviously ready to retires, like work backstage and like that. And it's no, and it ain't no mistake. Like, I'm retiring, and who come out, Mr. Deadman himself is like, I'm here to let people know you in the Hall of Fame. Like, that's one of Undertaker's new gimmicks.
no, look.
I'm Mr. Hall of Fame announcer, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair enough gimmick for him to have, and yeah, he's AJ Styles obviously on the list of no, yeah, you're just in. Like, what are we talking about? Like, we don't need to go further than this.
Yeah, and while AJ Styles was surprised, I'm like, I get why he's surprised. I'm like, should you be that surprised? You like you AJ Styles, and it's amazing how when even if you're not a WWE guy, when they like you, they like you. Like, they've always treated AJ Styles like, oh nah, you because like AJ Styles did what 10 years?
Well, that is still wild that his run in the WWE like 2 years ago or something started to be longer than his TNA run.
And you don't even think about that till you think about, like, damn, he's been there. Cause I'm like, oh, AJ Styles just, I'm like, no, that was a while ago. You
It
start looking
was
at the
10 years in between his debut at the Royal Rumble and his closure at the Royal Rumble.
You know how insane that sounds. AJ Styles was
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is what it is, and it is wild that Yeah, it's kind of the reverse Kurt Angle,
Yeah,
you
people forget, like,
know,
yeah,
with.
Kurt Angle was in TNA longer than he was in WWE, and it's like,
Yep.
you don't think about it till you think about it. And guess what? Dirty secret, Kurt Angle had more great matches in TNA than WWE. People just didn't see it. And it's like, if y'all saw it, we had, like, it's amazing how awesome Kurt Angle is. He's still probably underrated. Because a lot of people didn't watch TNA, so it's like y'all was making them jokes about him being on painkillers and stuff like that. I'm like, that man was a maniac having 4 or 5 star matches with a broken down body, like for a while. And it's just kind of like, if we didn't see, and I know people talking about, well, you kind of discount that because you didn't see that. I'm like, well, y'all don't use that excuse for Samoa Joe, because how many of y'all was watching ROH?
No.
Like.
Yeah, who bought all of those DVDs? I know it wasn't you.
Or TNA, y'all bought one, and I only bought one. I'm like, nah, I can't do this low rent stuff no more.
And I mean, I know that I went to ROH events during that time period, but I never ordered the DVDs. So, like, I only saw like one or two events live. You know, so like how I guess I was impressed with Samoa Joe. Of course, I'm not sure how many times I actually saw Samoa Joe. Like, that's kind of the other wild thing. At least the times that I caught ROH in those days, I don't think I caught him. I don't know why exactly.
Carmen Petrovic beats Ivy Nile on main event. Good for her. Might have saw that. Yeah, but no, but like we can wrap up, you know, Stephanie McMahon's in the Hall of Fame. And it's just
Oh,
wild.
yep.
Stephanie was like, me? What you talking? I'm like, really, Steph? What you mean you? Like, when did nepotism and pro wrestling go out of style? Like, come on now. Cause she looking around like, what you
Who,
talking about?
me?
Like me. And it seemed, and I don't know if it's put upon, but it almost seemed like, what you talking about? I'm a fan. I got a podcast now. I don't do this shit no more. Like, I'm just enjoying stuff. And it's like, yeah, you. And it's just wild how, like, she crying, hugging her, like, Undertaker just becoming Uncle Taker in real life is just wild. And then Demolition finally getting in the Hall of Fame, and you
Oh.
know, and Bill Edey about to damn near cry, and I'm like, people make fun of the Hall of Fame like it don't mean anything. It means something to some of these people. Like, some of them don't care, but obviously some of these wrestlers care about doing that, because it, who am I to tell somebody it's not important?
Oh, well, yeah, and I'm definitely in the Demolition childhood favorite. I am I'm in the category of it, this is long overdue
Yes, I think it was
for
more.
Demolition.
I think it was more like a Bill Edey lawsuit thing,
Oh,
that
yeah.
held them up for a long time. Cause keep in mind, like, y'all can talk about Demolition now. It might look goofy. I was a kid. I was like, they was. Maybe I was young, too young to know any better, and maybe it wasn't because I wasn't really watching a Road War like that. Demolition was like some badasses to me when I was a kid. Like the look and the music, you can't tell me nothing. If they was like, you tell me they the best tag team in the world. If I'm eight, it sound like that to me. They look like it. They got them. They got treated like that. I was like, that's definitely something where it's kind of like a definite thing of presentation making a big difference, because they were presented like a big deal and they were treated like a big deal, so we felt that it was a big deal. Now, if you watch in hindsight, it's like, huh? But you can't do that in hindsight. Like you judge based on what you saw. And
Yeah, that is exactly right.
it's kind of like, yeah, they should have been in a long time ago, but it's like, it was a reason why they're not. But the fact that they're in now is just kind of like, and it was surprising too. It was like, 'cause I saw it on Twitter. I was like, Demolition Hall of Fame on ESPN page. I'm like, huh? And then I had to like go back and Triple H make the call to Barry Dawson and Bill Edey. And like, you know, Barry Dawson had to talk because Bill Edey's like, I don't know what you want me to say. I didn't think this was gonna happen after I sued y'all. So.
Oh, yeah. Always water under the bridge, especially with Triple H in charge.
Yes.
It's how do we make money is always on the list of have we checked this off yet? And it's just like, oh, that That lawsuit's over. We're kind of cool. Okay, great. We
Yes.
can make money. Check. Let's do it.
Stephanie McMahon, AJ Styles, and Demolition Hall of Fame class. What a weird combination.
I kind of feel like they're either going to be weird or they're really. I feel like they're running out of childhood memories for our age bracket.
I mean, this is the funny thing where it's like they kind of, I can't think of anybody else that's big that's not in the Hall of Fame. Like talking about from like the 70s and 80s. They're like that's, I mean, it might be some names, but I can't think of like at least American, but it's kind of like, they put in like Kenta Kobashi. Some nonsense like that. And it wouldn't be like, if Ultimo Dragon and WWE Hall of Fame, are we really gonna complain? Because it's kind of like it is Ultimo Dragon. It would just seem weird. But we're at the point now where it's like, they put people who haven't really worked in WWE in a WWE Hall of Fame because they treat it now like it's a pro wrestling Hall of Fame. And it's kind of like it's still funny where, John Cena probably that'd be him next year. No doubt.
Oh yeah, he's got to be the he's going to be on a year that he's the main event.
And I mean, it's kind of like, is Batista in yet? Or did he want to wait? Or he was supposed to come in, and then like COVID happened? Because I feel
You
like,
know, I feel like he's not in yet.
because I think it's kind of like he's in the same boat where it's like we want him. Because you have a lot of people's like him, like Cena, Batista, and Rock are like, you still got them there. And it's just wild where it's kind of like, it's wild that The Rock isn't in the Hall of Fame yet.
I you said that out loud and I'm like, holy shit. Like, he's right. Like, that is wild that he is not it, that they have not gone to that well yet.
And like, I guess they waiting because I guess you could do it whenever you want, but it's kind of like he the boss, and it's The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, when someone's been talked about is one of the pillars of your company, it's pretty wild that they've been retired for more than a decade now.
Yeah, but
Like,
I
'cause
think
I
it's.
feel like I've been looking at the some of those early movies. Like, I watched The Tooth Fairy recently, and I'm like, it has been a long time that The Rock has been out of the,
I mean,
obviously
as
he's
far as
popped
like
his
full
head
time,
in.
it's like, yeah, it's
Yeah.
like 2003. Like 2002, 2003 is kind of like I'm just doing movies, and it's like I know he's come back a couple times. It was like we talking about 20 plus years he's been part time and not there, and he basically kind of like I'm on the board of directors, so he can get in whenever he want. It's kind of like I got the feeling they gonna do that when they in Saudi, when they throw him like 50 when they throw him like $50 million to wrestle at Mania. I just got this icky, like I don't like playing this whole moral thing because it's pro wrestling. I just got that. We can run with that. So I know it's been an issue, like people been talking about ticket sales in Vegas and everything. Tomorrow is a it ain't a booking issue. It's a recession issue. Like you're already going back to Vegas after going last year. It's more expensive than it was last year. And people have less money. Like I was gonna go to WrestleMania when it's gonna be in Louisiana. When they says going in Vegas again, I'm like, nope. I canceled my hotel reservations, and I was like, yeah, nope.
Yeah, there are reasons that I'm going that are making the trip a little more worthwhile.
Well, there you go.
Let
So,
let's say
yeah.
but yeah, that I mean not would have been way more excited about Las Vegas or New Orleans than Las Vegas.
Like I wanted to go to WrestleMania one last time, just for old time's sake. And even though kind of like I can afford like the prices, like I'm not one of those whole stop being broke thing, because like those prices are insane. And
Oh, yeah.
cause for
Yeah, that is
everything,
wild.
like everything costs more money. And it's like the fact that AEW is this whole you ain't gotta sell a kidney to watch our shows, it's like that's a good gimmick to play, cause it's like because I know TKO, like, well, actually, we could charge more. I was like, just because you can't on me, you should. Because it's like a lot of times you have those crowds where, like, yeah, they got all this money and they don't care about their watches. It's just boring. And it's like, I don't.
Yes,
I just.
it's more of a status thing than an actual I enjoy this product thing.
Because what was it? Were they in what, Atlanta? And the crowd was dead? And it's like they never dead in Atlanta. And I can remember because they said Indianapolis the next night and that crowd was blowing up. And I'm like, yeah, that had to have been a price tag issue because this is like, yeah, some of these crowds might have 17,000 people. They out here on their phone chilling. And there's no energy there because it's like that's the price you have. And then it's like, y'all gonna be a Saudi for Mania next year? Like I'm like, I know money is what it is, but I'm like, it's WrestleMania. Like
Oh.
you can't throw them like a money in the bank or something. Like, and I know they hold.
I mean, they already threw him a Royal Rumble this year. Second biggest pay-per-view of the year, I think most people would agree on at this
Yeah, and
point.
I'm just thinking it's like everything you heard is like we want to have The Rock in the main event. We willing to make him the biggest offer that's ever been made, and it's kind of like The Rock don't need the money, but they talking about we give you $100 million. Am I saying no to $100 million for a 20-minute match? No. Like I don't care how much money I got. 100, I don't know what the number is, but it's like you start talking
Yeah.
that. Put it this way,
You talk silly money, you're gonna agree to it.
Because it's kind of, and you're going to have to convince him. Because, like, he's already wealthy. He don't need the money. So you got to have to make it worth his while to do that. Like, to get in. And also, we're talking about, people make jokes. I'm like, getting nominated for a Golden Globe as an actor is still getting nominated for a Golden Globe as an actor. And The Rock got nominated for the, like, say what you want. He got nominated. Who would have ever guessed that would have ever happened with him? And I watched that movie and it was earned. Like he acted his ass off in that movie. That's a good movie, but that is not a fun or enjoyable movie. Like that movie just has this underlying dread in it. Cause like which cause have you watched The Smashing Machine yet?
I have not.
Yeah, it's just imagine somebody that smiles and the smile doesn't reach his eyes. That's how he's carrying himself. Like it's affable and you think it's pleasant, but it's always this whole creepy feel. Like, is he nice or is he pretending to be nice? Like you can't wrap your head around it. And I know what The Rock looks like. And I'm watching that movie. I'm like, is that The Rock? Because it don't look like it don't really sound like The Rock. It dead they did an awesome job with makeup. I'm like, yeah, that like a white
Oh.
man. Like that look like a big old that like that looks like John that like a big old white man like that did not like The Rock. And Emily Blunt is like Jesus Christ, like so like toxic girlfriend played that to the damn hill. Like I've watched that movie two or three times and it's just where it's kind of like it's almost like I've watched the Iron Claw more than I should because like I catch myself like, why am I watching this movie when I know how depressing it is? And I know how it's gonna end. And I just throw it on the background while I'm doing dishes.
Wow. Yeah, you definitely have different definition of background noise. I would never throw on anything that depressing
Don't know,
in the
and I
background.
normally don't, but it's like normally I don't do that, but it's kind of like sometimes I'm bored and I just put Saw 2 on. I have no idea why, because it's not like it's a fun movie, but I just enjoy watching. Like it's something with the Iron Claw where, you know what it is? The dude that's playing Fritz Von Erich is so much of an asshole. It's almost kind of like cartoonish. And the worst part about it is kind of like I tell people, you know that movie could have even been more depressing if it was like more real life. And yeah, that's still why. It's funny. I remember when people were making jokes like, "Oh, we're gonna have a date movie. We're gonna go see the Iron Claw. It's got Zac Efron. It's like Rocky." And it's like, why would you do that? Like, why would you like take your girlfriend or woman to that movie? It's like I thought it was gonna be a nice wholesome movie, and I was crying for the last 20 minutes. I'm like, yes, because I remember watching that movie, and I was like, like it started off fun, and then it just kept going. And going and just kind of like, yeah. Ugh. And then this kept getting worse. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm watching this again. Then I brought it on Blu-ray. And then I've watched it like three more times since then. So I just tell people, turn it off when David, when Kevin gets married, turn it off then. Like, you know how Scarface, when he gets married, the tiger comes out. If you turn off that movie at the wedding, it's a fun movie.
if you don't want to be depressed, stop it here.
Yeah, stop it at the wedding. That's all you gotta do. So, but yeah, it was good being on the show again. And I'm looking forward to the pay-per-view on Saturday with NXT. And I'm just wondering how WrestleMania is gonna play out, because it's kind of like they've had to juggle a lot of storylines, a lot of injuries, and it's just wild where it's like we have a WWE where John Cena and AJ Styles have retired recently. Bianca Belair isn't there. Like, one of their biggest stars hasn't been there for like a year. And we haven't even talked about the fact that I know why is Brock Lesnar there? Like, for what? I mean,
The only
I
thing
know
that we
why,
can
but
surmise is the Obafemi confrontation, honestly. It seems I don't know who else really fits the bill for
I
what
mean, Gunther, eventually.
Gunther is on the short list also of
Yeah,
options.
because they were talking about, well, who we gonna have fight. Bro, if it ain't Obafemi, then what you doing? Like, I'm gonna have an open challenge. I'm gonna be on Raw each week to have an open challenge, and it's kind of like it's that still cloud. Like, we know why Brock Lesnar wasn't there. And that stuff is still out in the air, and it's still being litigated. And it's kind of like we all know that. And y'all was being all high and mighty about how we gonna be on straight and narrow, and it's a different era. And then you bring him out, it's like, oh, well, he wasn't found guilty yet. It's like people want to see him. It's like they don't want to see him anymore, knowing that. It's like I was a Brock Lesnar fan, but that ship kind of sailed. It felt I'm not this whole be on my high horse of moral thing, but I don't act like it don't feel kind of dirty watching Brock Lesnar. And it don't seem like it don't serve a purpose. Like, for what? Like, the juice don't seem like it's worth the squeeze in this case.
Oh yeah, I guess if he loses it doesn't really do that much for Gunther. I mean, you can always put that he retired him or whatever, ends up being the case. Oba's the only one that it really benefits to really immediately make him a threat on the main roster.
Beat him.
Gunther doesn't need to be a threat. He's already a threat.
Yes, but it's kind of like if Gunther gonna do this whole thing, like I'm the man that puts people out the pasture, then that's a perfect gimmick to have. And it's like, him and that Drake, like, I mean, it's funny because he's kind of like, I ain't here for your damn legends. I don't mind making you sad. Like, get these bums out of here. They're taking up space. So it's just a thing, but it's kind of like, yeah, have Obafemi go in there and just squash him in 2 minutes. It's like you make him. Could just have my boy. I've never seen, like, the last time I seen him like that was when Goldberg did it. It's like I've never seen Brock Lesnar dominate like that so quickly. And it's like you make Obafemi, and Brock Lesnar don't care. It's like, cut the check.
Brock is one of those guys. He's definitely secure enough in his spot that it's just okay, I can take, he doesn't mind eating losses.
Yes, I
He's
mean,
like,
and
this is fake
also,
wrestling. I'm okay with it. You're giving me money? Great.
if he likes and respects you, he gonna sell for you, gonna make you like $1 million. He gonna go with it. If he don't, like,
We get the John Moxley match.
yes,
It's the last one you can point to,
and in
really.
hindsight, it was kind of like hearing that stuff is like, yeah, I can see why Rob, like, I ain't doing that shit. And it's weird. Like, I love John Moxley now and AEW, but that whole. It's funny where he was a that Steve Austin interview seemed like everything just went downhill after that with him. And it seemed like that should have been the thing, but I just remember that happening. And everybody just kind of started looking at him differently, and his career just like cratered. And I don't get, like, so he had an awkward interview, so what? Like, on a podcast, like, he didn't give a slur or nothing, like, but. It's just funny how something that small could just seem like it just had such a. I don't know if it was just kind of incidental, but I just remember how his career looked before then, and I saw how his career looked after that, and they are two very different careers.
One of the people that more than reasonably, like, I always thought that he ended up being still ended up featured one way or the other. I also under 100% understand why he moved over to AEW,
Yeah,
because he
because
was never going to be in, well, I shouldn't say never, but I'm not sure they would have let him grow into the Roman Reigns spot that
yeah,
he's
like
worked his way into in
they knew
AEW.
he was talented. He got pushed, but it was always kind of like it went from him being serious to him being kind of goofy and like weird type stuff. And then he came back, put on 20 pounds of muscle, shave his head, and then he start really being weird with the whole "I need a vaccine because you people making me sick" and all that nonsense. Then it's like, yeah, his contract running out, but we're gonna have him have one last run in the Shield. I'm like, what? They don't ever do this where they basically announcing like he about to leave the company and we're gonna celebrate him on the way out. I'm like, he not retiring. What are y'all like? They must really like him to do this. And then they do that, and then like what, 2 weeks later he in AEW?
He definitely had one of the stranger send-offs, especially in a Vince McMahon era
Yeah, like
situation.
we know you're gonna leave. We know you're probably gonna go to the other company, but thank you for being a good soldier. We're gonna let you go out one last time for the Shield. And then it's a perfect thing where it's kind of like Roman and Seth still talk about him when they cut promos. Like
Yeah, he's
they
still
still
out there.
like it's weird where he is really the only person that's in AEW that WWE television still talk about. Like the announcers, we bring him up sometimes. Seth was like, "Yeah, you ain't been the same since John left." It is like, why y'all? If somebody that watched AEW is like, what are y'all talking about? And this weird thing where it's kind of like that's one of the factions where they will always be connected because it's like it's still even with them not being together, they're still linked. And it's just this weird. And it's like that normal, like normally you leave the company. Like the only other one that really came up was like Edge, but that was more like people asking John Cena. I don't know why they thought AEW was gonna let Edge wrestle John Cena on his retirement tour. Like, come on now.
That was people took one too many drugs
And
to come up with that plan.
I know we in a different era of pro wrestling where like TNA, like everybody work for everybody, but it's like we ain't go that far. Like, let's
Yeah,
not.
I mean, it was kind of even weird the other week when Daniel Bryan uttered the letters WWE on AEW TV, because both sides have been in on the we don't mention the other company
Yeah.
unless we really, 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 really have to.
Yeah. It's like we talking about we know you was somewhere else. That's the most they'll mention. Like they do Cody Rhodes, like we know you left somewhere, started your own little thing. And it's like, well, we know you ain't talking about ROH. So like it's this weird and it's weird because it's kind of like wrestling is more open than it's ever been, and everybody's kind of working together and like doing different shows. And it's still this whole, like WWE, AEW are aware of each other, but they do their best to kind of like, oh, he went up north, he went down south, you know, other company. He did that thing with his friends. And it's like, well, y'all need to be like, be grown ups. Like, AEW's not putting WWE out of business. WWE not putting AEW out of business. They can both thrive and make money. Like, just let that go. Like, come on now. I know why they don't, but it's like, and it's like, I'm glad, I've been watching AEW a little bit more, and they seem to be on the come up, and it's like their ratings have been bouncing back. NXT still gets better ratings than them. So it's not like AEW is a threat to WWE. So, but AEW is going to make money and still be viable for as long as they want to be. So who cares? Like, this ain't no Monday Night War nonsense anymore. It's like, stop being,
There are a zillion different things that you could watch now. Unlike, I mean, that is almost kind of something pretty wild too, where it's just like, the pool is still wide. Like, as much as the pool was wider during the Monday Night War era as compared to, like the black and white TV watching like six or eight stations, wherever the fuck it was, to, Monday night area to now, like just progressively gotten more options as things have moved along. And it's just like, yeah, like there isn't any direct, head to head,
Yeah,
so to
TNA's on
speak, at this point.
AMC, and they basically said, "Yeah, we basically work with NXT is how we get this AMC deal," and WWE helped us get this deal.
Oh,
Everybody
yep.
was like, "That's just wild!" Like, yeah, WWE helped us make more money, become more successful. So yeah, we're gonna keep working with NXT. We all eat, and it was just like, "Oh, it makes good business sense." And it's like, it's just accepted. I can watch it on YouTube and watch Undertaker book Triple A, and it just seemed normal. And meanwhile, CMLL is like making the most money they've ever made, because apparently, like, Mystical was like El Santo as far as the box office. And it's like that just happens. Like that's a thing. AEW's making their money. Japan's making their money, and it's kind of like everybody's eating, everybody's doing well. And I can rap with AEW, where I don't really talk about AEW that much. I know they have a new women's champion, and I will not lie, Tekla's champion makes me laugh a lot. Like, that's somehow where it's like having the belt elevates her, because I was laughing my ass off of that promo she cut against Thunder Rosa. I will not lie. Because she, like, basically.
She's definitely one that's grown on me. Like she's another one where I'm like, I'm not sure that I get what's going on here. Wasn't quite sure why she joined the Sisters of Sin there and the what the toxic
Whatever
the
that
hell's
group is.
yeah.
But
But
it's.
anywho, but yeah, like, and now that they made her the leader, and I'm like, this dynamic fits way better for whatever reason and has been great for her.
Yeah, because it's like she already had the ring skills. She definitely has a vibe where it's like she got this creepy, evil European villain vibe. And like all that spider shit and everything like that. And then it's like, she could fight, because her and Aminata was kind of like doing this whole, yeah, we gonna make y'all think that wrestling is real. The way
Yeah, those two got a little rough with each other, a little
And they
snug.
seem like, and they enjoy that. It's kind of like, yeah, it's like wrestling fake to who? Maybe to y'all, ain't. They did this whole "it's real to me, damn it," like in real life. And then it's like she learned her personality, because it's like, yeah, she knew at a point, like, Thunder Rosa been out that long, like, your first match, you want the champ? Like, yeah, I would call her, excuse my, I would call her a dumb bitch too. And the way she said it is like she wrong, but it's so damn funny that the crowd was just kind of laughing, because it's like, when you put it that way, it do kind of make sense. It's like, you better slow your roll, work your way up. It's like it's funny where you shouldn't be cheering for her, but she's so damn entertaining that it just works. And it's like that whole Gunther thing. Like, Gunther does not try to be nice, and he's always being a heel. But it's like he's entertaining, not even a smart heel. Like, he's just an old school heel. I just like Gunther because, like, he's a prick. It's entertaining. He ain't trying to be entertaining. He's just like, I root for him to lose, but I enjoy watching him, if that makes sense.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and
Yeah, he's one of the few guys that has done a great job of maintaining heel heat in this era where it is exceedingly hard to maintain heel
yeah,
heat.
I mean, he's not trying to be cool. He's just trying to be awesome, and it just works. And Tekla's the same way, where it's kind of like, and that's the problem. Like, if you're too good of a heel, as Trick Williams finding out, they're gonna start cheering for you. That's just the way it is. And normally, that's how it go. Like, it takes a lot. Like, either you gotta be cowardly, or you gotta be foreign. Normally, it's like to be a heel.
Yeah. Well, it does help that both Tekla and Gunther kind of the same. Like they're kind of dicks all the
Yes.
time. So they both kind of have that element to their promos where it's just like you're just unlikable. Like
Like,
even though you're good at your job, like you're just unlikable.
Yes, it's just that works. And one last thing, and then we'll go because we had talked about how wrestling's funny. So I don't know if they did this on purpose, but this whole two El Grande Americanos, where one's a babyface in WWE and one's a heel, and then they switch roles in AAA, is kind of like, I don't know if they did it on purpose, and I don't know where they're going for it, but it's just a wild dynamic because they treat it like it's just like they just accept that. Because when that gimmick first started, yeah, we had our thoughts. Like, from the Gulf of America, we got somebody that's a luchador that speaks no Spanish, and it's like, this is stupid. And then he gets hurt, and then Ludwig Kaiser does it. Like, what are you doing? And then he embraces it because he speaks Spanish. And it's like, I'm actually going to embrace the culture. I'm actually going to make this like I'm trying to be a hero. And he go to Mexico, they treat him like he's Steve Austin. Like he's the damn man down there. And it's like, so then I think, okay, so Chad Gable is gonna come back as Chad Gable. No, they're just gonna bring him back as like, I'm the original El Grande Americano. And it's like, so now he go to the United States and he gets cheered. And I'm like, this dynamic is working and this shouldn't be. Because it's kind of like they just juggling two different storylines. And they switch roles based on what country you are, and people just go with it. And it's like, I know we did the whole, well, Bret Hart was a heel in America and a babyface in Canada, but he was still in the same company. This is like, I'm going to a different company that's connected to my company, and then Mexico respects me because I respect the culture, but goofy ass America likes the fake one.
It
And then
is a bizarre circumstance.
Then Penta has beef with the real with the first one in Mexico, was cool with him in America, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, what is? I mean, I get it, but I'm like, this is a little too meta for like pro wrestling. Like, that's just, and it's like, yeah, Ludwig Kaiser, yeah, he ain't never taking that mask off because it's kind of like. He's just awesome, and it's like they treat him like he's a big deal in Mexico, and it's like I can see it because he speaks the language. He's not mocking it; he's like embracing it, and the crowd sees that. And it's like Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, they need to take those masks off, just have them wrestle. It's funny, like Tyler Bate gonna have a job there for life because he already like helps like produce and stuff like that. So he kind of found his niche. So it's like he ain't gotta worry about getting a paycheck. I mean Pete Dunne. Tyler Bate is like, yeah, I mean, I know y'all here, you just he must have got something because the women he is dating that company is just like, yeah, how? But it's like, you went from a big strong boy, like you ain't no boy no more. You've been there. You used to be like this young dude, but you realize like time kind of going. He ain't this whole young blue chipper anymore.
I mean, he's still got to be pretty young, but yeah, I still think that he's a little too vertically challenged to really get anywhere or become, as we've already talked about, the Rey Mysterio of his generation. Like, is he good? Yeah. Like, see Rey Mysterio good? Oof,
No, I mean
probably not.
he's 28. I'm still surprised he's
Oh.
under 30. And it's like, I guess he started, a young time. It's kind of like, yeah, you can overcome height. It's not just he's like short. He's not stocky. It's like you can overcome that if you like, I'm the best wrestler alive. But it's like, there's no bad wrestlers in WWE on the main roster anymore.
Oh,
So
no.
you being a very good wrestler don't mean that much if that's your main thing. Like you gotta have the other stuff, and it's like size ain't the be all and end all, but size is still a thing. It's like you can get away with it being an AEW because AEW is the whole thing where it's like it's funny how AEW got the stigma like they don't like pushing big people. It's like almost that they did a reverse W because like Samoa Joe is basically like is probably the biggest wrestler that's been successful in AEW as far as like size wise. Because everybody else is kind of like the fact they were treating Wardlow like a jobber, considering his size and height is insane. in the world of pro
Oh,
wrestling.
I mean, he isn't even really the only one.
Powerhouse Hobbs was the same way. Like
Lance Archer's been was
Brian,
essentially a jobber.
like Brian Cage is like
Oh, yep.
also I'll be neglected like mention Brody Lee. Like they treat him like he's important now too, but normally it's kind of like you a certain size. It's like
Oh.
nah, we just this is a small man company. Which
Yeah,
seems like
Brody Lee was an exception to the rule there.
he's the exception to a lot of rules
Yeah,
in just a funny way. And I guess we didn't mention that we can really wrap up that whole that anti-ice chant. I'm sure it caused some. I didn't realize it was going to be so widespread as far as a news thing. Because I guess people still have this idea that pro wrestling is this hillbilly redneck thing. And it's like, no,
oh.
the people running the show might be like that. The fans tend to be rather liberal, surprisingly, and diverse.
Yeah, that was one of those way back the beginning of the show here. That's just kind of surprised that sentiment is still around. You know, like that's another one where I'm like, didn't we kill this back in the Attitude Era? I would say
No.
it's the latest, and it's like, oh no, okay. Hey. Everything comes back, evidently. I'm like, okay, well, it is what it is, and just move along with life.
I mean, it's just people still, even though wrestling is more accepted than it's ever been, like, the Jalen Brunson was on Stephanie McMahon's podcast, and he was like, "Yeah, I used to be a fan when I was a kid, and then I stopped watching when I was a teenager, and then I started watching again when I stopped caring what other people thought about it." And it's like,
Oh.
how many people have said that as far as like wrestling fans? Like that seemed like a
Me.
natural, yeah. Me, like it's funny where I think I kind of did that too, but it was different where when I was a teenager, it was in the Attitude Era.
Oh.
So everybody was watching it, and it's kind of like people kind of stopped watching during the Ruthless Aggression era, and they kind of aged out. And then it's funny, like a lot of people went back when like The Rock came back, or they started
Oh.
asking about it
Yep.
again. So it's kind of like normally you used to grow up, oh, because it's kind of like I used to watch the Power Rangers, so I hit a certain age, and I was like, nah, I'm too old for that. But it's like pro wrestling, normally you feel like you're too old. It's like I remember the Attitude Era, everybody was watching. And everybody was talking about it, like at work and stuff like that. So it's just funny we hear some like Jalen Brunson like just say that, and it's like everybody's going through that, and it's just feel normal. And like it's not weird to be a wrestling fan these days now, how it used to be. But
Oh.
people from the old school still got these same stereotypes, like it's like it's fake, right? And I'm like, do y'all think Game of Thrones is real? You ever seen a fucking dragon? Like it's not a historical documentary. Like why do y'all do this with pro wrestling? Like we are morons. Like yes, we know it's staged. I don't think Mission Impossible is real either, just because Tom Cruise doing his own stunts. What y'all doing? Like why y'all talking to me like I'm a dummy? Like I had a conversation one time with somebody because somebody asked me. I'm like, you know what I do for a living, right? I'm a pharmacist. You think I'm smart? They're like, yeah, of course. I'm like, so you think I don't know how pro wrestling work? Or are you just trying to be funny? They're like, oh, I'm just saying, like, what exactly are you saying? So you trust me to do these medication orders to save little babies' lives, but you think I'm so damn gullible that I see a drop kick? I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Is that what you think? It's like, well, when you put it that way, I'm like, do you watch The Walking Dead? Do you think that's real? Of course not. I'm like, why not? Oh, because it's zombies. And it's a TV show? All right then.
Yeah, it's on TV. It's a TV show, guys. Let's not over the people just overthink it, I
Do
guess,
they really like
or
it's
underthink it. One of the two.
do they really think the people that cover it on ESPN think it's real when they talk about it? It's like, no, but they know we all kind of know what it is. It's like if you weren't sure by now, Netflix basically tells you how the show works. In their own lying ass way. It's like, we don't do kayfabe no more. Let that go. We all kind of know. It's like this whole idea of like people hate, and like y'all need to be, are y'all dumb? Y'all need to be lied to? Well, I need to really believe it. Why? You're an adult. You're not six. Like, why are you treating it like a Santa Claus? You're a grown up. I need to really feel like they dislike each other. I'm like, I don't care if they hate each other in real life. It's like they're not fighting in real life. It's not a boxing match. It's a wrestling match. Like, I don't want, like, if when Rhea Ripley and Jade Cargill have a match, I don't need Jade Cargill to really punch Rhea Ripley in the face and break her jaw to make me feel like, oh, they is now I can be invested in the match. I'm like, no, but Bret Hart say you're supposed to make it look like it's real, but don't hurt anybody. That's why he always been the guy that anti-strong style stuff. Like, don't take no effort to really drop someone on their neck. Like
No.
any bozo can do that. Oh, it looked real. Oh, I guess it is. That's why he paralyzed. And it's kind of like y'all call Bret Hart a grouch, but I'm like, I kind of get on Bret Hart's side. It's like, if I want to see real, I'm gonna watch something else. I've never been this whole, why don't you really hit him? Anybody can do that. I don't.
No.
That's
Yeah,
that.
people love doing the real hitting these days, though.
Yeah,
Because
that's.
they love the social media moment of look what this does to my body. It's just like, okay.
You know who don't really like that? The wrestlers. Yeah, ask Trick Williams about, you think, ask him about how you feel about Ilja Dragunov and Gunther. He was like, yeah, I don't want to be hit like that. He said, yeah, Ilja kicked me so hard, my lights went off. And he kicked me again, the lights went back on. And he's like, you need to protect yourself, Trick. And he didn't say it like it was like fun. Yeah, it's talking about, oh, how come Tama Tonga, you didn't sell those chops by, oh, he's like, because I'm from Strong Style, but guess what? They hurt. You want to see my chest? You think he wasn't hitting me? It was like, I don't even walk around looking like that. Like, no, if something happened and it's by happenstance, fine. Doing that on purpose? Nah, I'd rather wrestle Bret Hart where it looked good and it's like it feels safe and I can go home and be safe. Instead of this whole, like AJ Styles can still walk and walk around. A lot of them jack, like I saw Tanahashi the last few years. He was walking like he was riding a horse.
Oh
But at least
boy, yeah.
he can at least he can walk. Some of them were in wheelchairs. Some of them were dead. Just getting dropped on your neck on a German suplex on the ground over and over again is not good for the body. And it don't take much.
Yeah, and is not necessary for something that as you point out, everyone knows is fake,
Yeah, no, as somebody described, the matches are
so. Boy.
predetermined, but the pain is real.
Yes. Perfect way to put it.
Okay, we can wrap up with that.
Bell time beer for the show. Kova Brewing Ocean Air, a pale ale, 5.3% alcohol. Should one find themselves down in the Virginia Beach area, they have a couple of locations. I do think their actual main location, is Norfolk, Virginia, to be specific. But they do have at least a secondary location. But they have a great open pour system where you just get to pour your, they give you a credit card and you get to pour your own beer, however much you want. So good tap room, good food. So yeah, should you find yourself down in that area, that is a high suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Philly underscore drugs. The brand is at Sun Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Shahid, send us on out of here proper, sir.
For Kevin DeFranco, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and don't turn a work into a shoot. We are out.